The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk, off my lady hump. My hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
EFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. That means it's media day. The media is here in force. Just came from the locker room, and as it usually is, the media far outnumbered any of the players that were in there. They're all here to get their interviews and mostly free pizza, but, you know, we won't hold that against them. Big week here. Peyton Manning coming to town Sunday afternoon. Can't wait. It's going to be a great game. The Denver Broncos. It's going to be weird seeing him in something other than white and blue, but that's okay. I think it's the same old Peyton Manning. He doesn't look like he's missing much. Maybe he's down in the... Paul, what are you doing? You got to have your mic on. What's going on? Up, there you go. I think you just fixed it, whatever that was.
Is that okay? Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Just turned my microphone and got a little snap, crackle, pop.
Connections are getting loose, I
guess. About that, boys.
Paul, what do you think? Do you think Peyton Manning has lost any arm strength?
Yeah, I do. I don't think it's something that he can't play around. But, yeah, I think he looks like he's lost a little zip on the fastball. And I don't think he was a guy who had necessarily rocket for an arm to begin with. I think he was more of a guy that relied on preparation and a lot like Tom. You know, sort of understanding concepts and setting defenses up and priding himself on not being fooled. And I think that really it bodes well for you when your physical skills sort of erode a little bit. I think if you watched some of the games, I still think he can be tremendously effective. But, yeah, and it's not about the wobble on the ball. It's about how fast it gets there. I think there's some velocity that he's lost.
Well, obviously a wobble does slow the ball down.
But I think that he's been prone to that throughout his career. Yeah. He doesn't necessarily throw the prettiest pass, and he never really has. But I think it takes a little bit longer to get there. And some of those deep seam routes, I think, is when we saw in Atlanta when he got picked off a little bit. But really, if you look at it, Freddie, that's the only bad quarter he's played.
Do you think the key with him this week is – disguising coverages or getting pressure? Which do you think is more important?
Disguising coverages for him. Yeah. You can't let him know what you're going to do or he'll kill you. The reason why, to me, the debate is so fascinating is because they're so similar with Brady and Manning. I think that they are so prepared. And if they know what you're going to do and you don't fool them ever, you're going to be in trouble.
Right,
you're going to be in trouble.
They both seem to feed off one-on-one coverage. I mean, if there's man coverage, that's they want to go there. They want to, they're going to assume that their guy can beat him. And especially with Manning, he loves that slant route, get the guy on the run. And obviously, if you're not accurate,
it doesn't work. But yeah, they're both so accurate, hitting the guy in the run and letting them go.
Right, and I don't want to dismiss the importance of getting pressure, because obviously that's a key to any pass defense, is getting some pressure. But my point is, much like with Tom, you can get pressure, and if he knows it's coming and he handles it, he can pick you apart. And I think Peyton's the same way. Now, if you get pressure that he's not expecting and you fool him with it, which is kind of what I'm saying, disguise, then right, I think that's more effective.
So it's a real chess match when you play either one of those guys.
Absolutely.
You know. Andy's here. You guys just came from the locker room.
I struck out in the locker room today.
Struck out?
I did.
Nothing?
I tried to talk to Stephen Ridley, and then I tried to talk to Brandon Bolden. I tried to talk to Bobby Carpenter. And none of those gentlemen, all very politely, declined today. Bolden specifically said he can't talk until Friday, which has sort of been a rookie thing so far. Chandler Jones has been talking every Friday. Not anything disrespectful in any way, but all the guys I wanted to talk to today, I didn't really get a chance to talk to.
I saw Brandon Lloyd with a big
meeting. Lloyd had a big group around him. Devin McCourty talked a lot about sort of ignoring the noise, for lack of a better phrase.
Yep. He's become good at that.
You know, just, you know, maintain
well,
your confidence and stay with what you believe. And
I think he has to ignore it both ways now.
Well,
the people that say, oh, he's turned the corner. No, you haven't.
I think that some of that was the message today.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Andy, I really like the fact that after the Bills game, he didn't talk to the media.
I could not agree with you more, Fred.
Yeah.
I hate when guys don't talk after a bad performance, and he stood there and faced the music in Baltimore.
Right.
I have no problems if you, quote-unquote, turn the corner and decide not to,
right,
not to speak.
Because the last thing you want him fielding is, wow, do you think that, you know, all those questions. I think that was a real good decision.
And that's what you're going to get. As much as people like to paint the media as these negative a-holes, he would have gotten a lot of turn the corner, making plays, feel-good type questions that he doesn't need right now, shouldn't be answering, doesn't want to answer, doesn't want to tiptoe through. And Paul's right. He has always been at his locker when he sucked. Every single time when he's given up plays, struggled, he's been there after games, he's been there during the week. This is a fine time for him to just back off,
yep,
kind of recalibrate and ignore the good noise this week as much as he ignores the bad.
I agree. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Freddie, I talked to Ryan Wendell.
You did for the show.
For both, yes. I actually chatted with him on camera and then off camera for a while. He is like the next in line, literally, of this developmental Dante Scarnecchia program here. A great story. I mean, just, you know, the guy's been here 4 years, I think, now. Is now your starting center. And, you know, he kind of acknowledged how much fun they had last week running the football and things of that nature. So look for that on Thursday night, 7:30, Comcast.
Yeah, we've got a lot of good reviews of the show.
Good.
It's not showing up in the ratings, but.
Well, the ratings have been all over the place.
I know.
Up, down, all
around.
A lot
of people, you know, and I use anytime somebody says, oh, I watch you on the Comcast show, my phrase is, you know, oh, so you're the one. But it's, you know, more than a lot of people.
So now you go with, oh, you're one of the three.
Right. But people are watching that show. You know, they just don't have the Nielsen boxes. That's all.
That's what we'll go with. None of our fans have Nielsen boxes.
Right. Plus, it's on PFW, on Patriots.com, so people,
right,
a lot of people see it there as well. Kevin handing out napkins. Thank you, Kevin. The Hoffmaster.
David Hasselhoff.
Thank
Master.
You. Thank you, Kevin. That's nice.
Andre, nope. Aaron Hernandez walked through the Patriots locker room today,
yep,
with a soft black wrap sleeve on his right ankle, moving swiftly and with minimal to no limp, I would say. And what that means, I have no idea.
Paul thinks, and I agree with him, that the guys do that just to tease us.
Some guys, because most guys disappear.
The minute he gets through the door, he's like, oh, my ankle.
Well, that could be.
Yeah, I think there was a little of that today. And he has that smile on his face. He's such a, like, good-natured guy. He's always in a good mood.
He's got a little bit of that poop-eating grin thing going
always.
On.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Oh, yeah.
The cat that ate the canary.
He loves to F with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he couldn't do it the first week. So whatever you think, it's better to see him doing that than not doing that. Now,
sure,
he has to get back on the practice field before you even consider
if and when
he can return.
You know, today, you know, we'll find out. If
sure.
he gets out there. I would be surprised if he does. But,
me
yeah,
too.
We'll find out. Every Wednesday it'll be
What's
you know,
the
an
London
interesting
trip?
Part
is
of.
Is that 3-4 weeks?
The 28th is the game, right?
Correct. So it's 4 weeks. Yeah, it's Denver at Seattle, then back home for the Jets, I think. Yeah. And then St. Louis.
I think the earliest I would plan to see him is the Jets, and I think he would be ready for the London game. You know,
I certainly think there's a good chance he's ready in a month.
Yeah,
I certainly think that is a plausible scenario.
But this
is
just my guess. I have no idea.
Well, no, I mean, we're sort of basing it on how quickly he went from boot, crutches, cart to walking to now walking better. I mean, there's a progression we're seeing before our eyes for these one day a week that he's in there.
Yep. So, but they showed that, they didn't miss a beat without Hernandez. Took him a game to...
Because unlike you, some of us think that having three All-Pros on the field is enough and you don't need five, seven, or ten.
Took them a game to, figure out what they want to do, but, you know, they...
Okay, pump the brakes. I know we're not supposed to say that.
All right.
Somebody said we said pump the brakes 1,000 times yesterday.
But if they're going to run like that, then, you know, let them rest.
Yeah, against the Bills.
Yeah.
It'll be a different challenge this week against the Broncos. It'll be a different challenge in Seattle.
How much better do you think the Denver defense is than the Bills?
I don't know. I'm done prognosticating. Yeah, that word. After the Bills laid down. They're supposed to be pretty good. I don't know what to tell you. They laid down. If everybody's going to lay down, I don't know.
Denver's, statistically has a pretty good run defense. Now, whether or not they are very good, I don't know. They played a couple of teams that run the ball pretty well in Houston, Oakland. You know, you say what you want about Oakland, but they generally run the ball, and they haven't run the ball very well this season.
Right.
So maybe that's a thing of the past. Who knows? I don't know. To me, you're missing a big part of that defense in Denver with DJ Williams being out. He was suspended for 6 games, and this will obviously only be the 5th game, so he won't play. And that's a big part of, I think, their front seven. They don't have a lot of name. I mean, they have Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil that everybody knows as pass rushers, but they have other guys that have done a pretty good job. And reading some of the stuff from our buddy Mike Kliss, who joined us on our show last year, and by the way, he will join us again on Sunday for the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social. In reading some of his stuff, Robert Ayers, I guess, has been a very good run stopper for them. That's why I threw that in the preview. He's a guy that was very highly regarded a couple years ago coming out of the draft as a guy that maybe the Patriots might even be interested in, a guy with some versatility up front. Well, evidently, he's sort of settled in as more of a run stopper, hasn't been a dynamic defensive lineman that maybe you look for in those high draft picks. So maybe a disappointment in terms of what they thought production-wise, but still has filled a pretty big role for them.
Okay. As we mentioned earlier in the show, Bobby Carpenter is back on the team. They've gotten rid of they let go the defensive lineman that they picked up, McLean. They released him. So Carpenter is here, and one can only figure that that's insurance in case Hightower doesn't get better in time for the game. Hightower, somebody asked him, today if he was doing interviews.
Friday.
He said he's going to wait till Friday and see.
That's pretty much the rookie day.
Rookie day, and with him, it makes even more sense because he's dealing with something physical.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes on the field. So Carpenter's in. I would imagine that they'll probably sit Hightower for this game. I'm just guessing.
I have no idea.
We haven't seen an injury report yet, but
yeah, I have no
idea. I can't imagine a hamstring getting better in a few days, right?
No idea.
You know, I did see him after he came off the field trying to stretch it out, which tells me it probably wasn't a full tear. Because
wasn't a full tear because he'd be on IR right now if it was a full tear.
I agree. If it was a full tear, there wouldn't have been any thought to him.
Yeah.
He was on the bike, according to some of the tweets that I read during the game. He wouldn't have been doing that.
Yeah, because at first I thought it was a cramp.
Tito would have said it was barking at him, tightened up a little bit, barking.
I thought it was a cramp because he was trying to stretch
it. J.D. Drew would have been out for 2 months with it.
It couldn't have been that severe, but still.
Hamstring injuries can be tough.
Well, that's
they're
the
not
thing.
That severe until you try to explode.
Right. That's why I would, if I could, give him another week. You know, but who knows? Maybe they, because it's the Broncos, maybe they feel they really need him out there. I don't know.
Well, you were playing without much of a net, and at least Carpenter gives you a little bit of a net.
And
not to say he's great or anything.
Right. If you had to pick a skill set for a linebacker in the middle for this game, would it be coverage or pressure?
Coverage.
Coverage.
You would rather the guy be
middle
better?
Middle of the field coverage.
Yeah. You would, and maybe isn't Carpenter a little bit better at that than, you know, Hightower at this point in his career.
Than Spikes, certainly.
Than Spikes,
yeah. Probably than Hightower, yeah, with the experience. But
Carpenter is very similar to Hightower. They were both coming out really versatile linebackers, a little bit of pass rush, inside, outside, run stuffing. Now, he didn't live up to the first-round pick, and we're hoping Hightower lives up to the first-round pick, but I think in terms of skill set, there's kind of a crossover.
Yeah, there's some versatility there with Carpenter. I think, you know, Andy was right on this one yesterday, and he tweeted it out immediately. You know, this would seem to be make a lot of sense. I think he said it yesterday on the show.
You said it before they signed him.
Oh, yeah.
It makes sense.
Oh, no, I'm talking about – he tweeted it yesterday, but I think he actually said it here on the show, too.
I do that a lot. I told him I wanted to move Jones around, so Bill said, well, we should probably move Jones
around.
With
Tracy White, you know – no disrespect for Tracy White, but we don't necessarily want him to be a starting linebacker. And if Hightower's
not
out,
in the Super Bowl,
and no, he didn't have to play that. He didn't play that much when Hightower only played like five or six play. I mean, maybe 10 plays tops in the game. Was it nine? He played nine plays. They didn't really have that third linebacker out there full time after that. They went a lot with extra. I think Tavon Wilson played. A lot, and he's a bigger guy, so you can get away with it.
Yep. All right, so other news, the Jets are imploding, which is nice. Antonio Holmes was announced. He's out for the season with the Anne Frank injury. So that's good stuff. Got to love that. And the Jets are playing the – what are they playing this week?
Texans.
And they're going to get blown out. So, life is good. The universe is where it should be right now.
Pink month here in the NFL. They're getting all the cleats and towels and various equipment ready.
Yeah.
Quick question for you, Fred. Who do you want to win that game? Houston and the Jets.
Well, yes, I know what you're getting at. And despite, you know, the seeding and all that stuff implications, I still want the Texans to win. I want, you know, the teams in my division in the rearview mirror at this point in the season as much as possible. You know, because at first I want to win the AFC East.
I'd go the other way.
You would.
I think you already won the division. I don't have any consideration.
I
think you're logically, in a battle for the conference.
Logically, Fred is right, but I agree more with Andy because I really don't think there's any scenario that they don't win the AFC East that doesn't involve Tom Brady being injured.
Right.
I don't.
I love how we always add that.
I don't. I don't think there's any way they won't win the AFC East as long as Tom Brady doesn't get hurt. And that doesn't matter if the Jets win on Sunday or not. So to me, you got to get one of those top two seeds. So you need Baltimore and Houston to lose as many games as you can.
That's true. That's a good point.
So you're rooting for the Jets.
Well, we do have a chance to play the Texans, so we can give them a loss. We have that in our control.
Right. And if they could lose this one, now they have two losses like you.
That's true.
And if everything held, you'd be ahead of them because you would have beaten them.
Because of head-to-head, right.
So you're rooting for the Jets this weekend?
Not this weekend. I'll root for another team to beat the Texans some other weekend. No, I want the Jets to lose. I want the suffering to continue. I'm not ready to end them yet. You know, I want to extend the torture.
So. You think they're out?
Hmm?
Ryan Tannenbaum, you think this is it?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. I don't know. I don't know.
Do you think the injury saved
Because
them?
That's a complete overhaul. That's like, okay, we're starting over.
Well, but my question is, you allowed them to build their thing. They picked Sanchez. That's who they wanted. They traded up to get him. You're kind of at the point where you need to do it again, and do you want them making the decision?
Well, yeah, that's the question. If you are going to start over with a new quarterback, then I would get rid of them. Then I would. If I'm not giving up on Sanchez, then maybe I wait another year.
Their inability to add any sort of offensive players to the mix lately. Now, maybe Stephen Hill is one. You know, he had a good start and then he got hurt. But who do they have that they've added over the last, say, 3 or 4 years to Sanchez that has panned out?
Yeah, they missed on Sean Green. That was a big miss.
That's he's been just an average guy. He's just a jag. And they haven't been able to really add anybody to Santonio Holmes to give them, you know, they tried with Braylon Edwards. They tried with Plax. You know, they, for whatever reason, decided to pull the plug on both of those guys. I thought they were reasonably productive, both of them, but they didn't like them. and
but I wouldn't
Dustin Keller.
I would say because the picks they didn't use on offense, they used on defense, and you could say, okay, if they developed a dominant defense, it's okay that we're not.
Kyle Wilson hasn't been great. He's been okay.
Mohammed, none of them have developed
Wilkerson's
into stars.
Been okay, right. And Copel's is off to a slow start.
If you hit a Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, like home run on those guys, you might be looking at the team differently because they're back to playing dominant defense.
But I bring up Sean Green because that when they got him, that's what they said. We're going to be a pound, grind, you know, a grind it out team, pound and ground, ground and pound,
but
whatever it is, play defense.
But they missed the other part of the equation. If you want to be ground and pound, you have to have a good offensive line.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
They've made a lot of bad draft picks. Vladimir Dukas hasn't panned out. He was like a second round pick.
Right.
Fourth, I think.
Oh, I thought he was a little
But it was still a bad pick.
Yeah, terrible. I could have told you that. I did at the time.
You know, so they really missed.
As you often do.
Leaping Lenny Poffo over here.
The whole ground and pound thing, they swung and missed on that, and that was to complement the defense.
That's why I would blow it up, because I would look at all the individual things and say, big picture, they've been competitive, and they made the championship games and all that, but a lot of these decisions didn't work out, and I need decisions for the future that work out.
Well, yeah, I mean, Tannenbaum... He has been, and he should be on the hot seat.
He's the guy, I think, that has to go.
Right.
No questions asked. Rex, I would think about it. He probably has to go, too. But I would, if I were Woody Johnson, I would at least give some consideration saying, I think this guy can coach if we have a better level of talent, because he doesn't make the decisions.
Right.
You know, they made a big deal of he made one pick and John Connor, you know,
right. Whatever.
So it's not like you can hang all of these guys on him. Not taking him off the hook either. He has say. He's involved. But to me, Tannenbaum, I think Andy makes a really good point off my offense thing. If they had hit with all those other guys and they still had the dominant defense they had 2 years ago, maybe you wouldn't be looking at it so badly. I don't know. It's just a mess. And I wonder if the injuries are going to save them.
Yeah.
Because, you lose Holmes and Revis. That's going to impact your team, especially Revis because he did so much. For your defense, he allowed you to play a certain way that you can't play anymore.
That's exactly right. I think Holmes shouldn't be as big a loss,
but because of that offense, it is
right.
It's not like losing Brandon Lloyd or losing Wes Welker,
right?
Who on the Patriots right now? Aaron Hernandez.
Right.
It's one guy,
right?
But you have five to choose from.
That's right.
They have one to choose
that's
from.
That's why.
And by the way, Keller's been hurt all year too.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? They don't have any other options. That's on them. That's on Tannenbaum.
Yeah.
That's his fault. Yep. It's all his. It's all on Tannenbaum.
And I love it. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got emails coming in. People want to talk about pumping the brakes and the Broncos. We'll get to all of that when we come back.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds are 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Story time with Fred Kirsch. Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College where the Patriots used to have the training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, there would always be a Dell's truck set up. I love Dell's
frozen lemonade.
Yeah. It's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why. I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice, and one day, I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to
try. It's called slush anywhere else.
No. Dell's is different than slush. So I decide, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys Dell. So I go to the Dell's truck, and I get a tray of, I think I had like 9 cups of Dell's. Just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path, led by their head coach, Jim Fossil. As I'm walking by, I say to Coach, welcome to the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. She goes, oh, great. And he starts taking them and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like Kraft when Putin took the ring.
Yeah.
What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
See what you get for trying to be an ambassador?
That's right.
Keep your head down and your mouth shut like I would.
I could totally see where he... You know, the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dells. All right, back here in PFW in progress. Hey, Kevin, Sales wants to know about the old phone lines in the ESPNBoston.com radio show. Do we cancel those, or do we? No?
We haven't canceled them yet because we use them to do, like, interviews.
Okay, can you just let JJ know?
Yeah, I'll let JJ know.
Okay, thanks.
Who's JJ?
JJ Alberts from our sales.
Oh, I thought it was JJ Hardy.
You don't know JJ? You should get around and get to meet some of your coworkers once in a while.
You know who it is.
I'm not big on that.
When we walk back from this show, generally we bump into him. Right? In that corner office
right there?
Yep. It's a big wig. He's got a corner office.
No, just like as you turn the corner.
A lot of people here have offices that I wonder why. Web radio at Patriots.com.
A lot of people have offices.
Derek is
quick Freddie, information.
Yeah.
According to Twitter, Vladimir Dukas was the 61st pick
yes,
in the draft.
Yes, and he pointed that out to me.
According to Twitter again.
During the break, that he was a second-round pick, so right. That makes it an even worse pick.
I think it's not just the Patriots that blow second-round picks.
Right.
One of the worst things that the Jets ever did was be on that Hard Knocks, because it just revealed how they live in that bubble and they have no idea.
See, I don't care about that. If you pick the right players, I think it's fine. You pick the wrong players, you lose.
But they have such high opinions of themselves, you know. Oh, he just dropped them.
That was bad.
You know, it's just like, come on, will you? John Connor's the Terminator. Yeah, what's he done?
I love being right, the Tomlinson thing.
He just dropped him, and then he cut him. He cut him, like, what, weeks later, right?
Right.
And it wasn't that. I mean, it wasn't more than a year later anyway. I mean, if it was the next season, but he cut him right away.
I feel bad for you're right, but I think I would be the same way. You know how reactionary I am. So I could see myself after practice one day. They dropped right before our eyes. They dropped. Like, that's how I am. That's why I'm not an NFL head coach.
Derek, among the reasons.
You know, in that little story time, I like how Freddie puts himself with Kraft. You know,
no question.
Kraft lost like thousands of dollars in a ring, whatever, $20,000 ring. Freddie lost, you know, $10 worth of Dells.
Right.
Oh, he said 30.
Oh, 30 bucks.
You know, his was the prime minister of Russia, and mine was the head coach of the New York Giants.
Who's now in the UFL. Right. That doesn't pay their players or coaches.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Derek is a candidate for the pharmacy school at URI, and he says, I wanted to ask you guys.
So if you need drugs, call Derek.
Does that mean he sampled a lot of drugs?
I guess. He says, wanted to ask you guys a question that I think about a lot. Bill or Brady? One of them retires at the end of this year. The other you get to keep for at least 5 more years. If you keep Brady, his play stays at a high level for at least the 5 years. You have to replace Bill with a coach of a current NFL team that you believe will be 500 or worse this year. If you keep Bill, Mallett is the starter. Hope this generates some discussion. Love your show.
I'll take Brady and Romeo Crennel.
I'd keep Bill. I want the head coach.
I'll keep Bill, too.
Yeah.
Not me.
You know?
You could persuade me to keep Brady and then take Andy Reid.
I like Romeo.
I'll take Bill.
Okay. So it didn't really generate that much discussion. Brett, we disagreed.
I just think we've argued it so long. Is it Bill? Is it Brady?
Right.
I mean, that's the basis of the question. But in today's NFL, I think you need a quarterback more than you need a coach.
And you know what sometimes on those that makes it difficult is probably the answer is they've really benefited from each other a lot. So it's hard to get real passionate about it.
Now give me the record. If Bill and Brady are 12-4 or 13-3, you're obviously getting a drop-off of some sort if you think they're both the best at what they do. So what's the Brady-Andy Reid record, and what's the Ryan Mallett-Bill Belichick record?
Right.
I think there's more of a drop-off to the Ryan Mallett-Bill Belichick record than there is to
the
Brady.
In the short term, you're right.
I think
it's five years.
That's
a short term in the NFL.
Yeah, I think in year one, there's no question there's a significant drop-off. But I think by year two, you could be all right.
If Mallett can play. If he doesn't do the good throw, bad throw.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're not married to the guy 4 or 5 years if he can't play.
No, but changing quarterbacks 3 times in 5 years, you're not going to be a good football team.
Yeah, he'll find a way to win games.
Right.
Yeah,
I'll take Brady, thanks.
Brett writes in, emailing you all the way from Australia.
G'day, mate.
Love listening to your radio. I have one question. If Hightower is going to miss some time with his injury and the way Jermaine Cunningham has emerged this year, do you think Bill might start Cunningham at defensive end and switch Ninkovich to the outside linebacker position?
It's something we've talked about, and I think I'd be for. I really do.
That could happen.
I think if you're looking for your best 7 up front, I think Cunningham may be better than Bobby Carpenter, and that's my best 7. And I think Ninkovich is actually worse at defensive end than I think he is at linebacker. I think it's a win-win. I like it.
No, it's a good way of looking at it, too. It's not... You can move guys around. That's what the versatility is for. And like you said, the idea is keeping your best players on the field.
Right. And I think that would be your best 7, personally.
Yeah. That's a good email. Thank you. John from New Brunswick, Canada.
I like when we give emailers the stamp of approval.
Well, has he ever done it before? I think that might be the first time he's ever said it.
John in New Brunswick, Canada says, hey, Paul, Fred, Andy, and part-time Eric. I listened to you guys talk about
this. He'll be by later.
Yeah. I listened to you guys talk about Gostkowski in the Bills game and talking about him at risk for a trade. What the hell?
No. No one's saying they're going to trade him.
Well, I think we said at risk of losing his job, maybe.
Right.
Well, yeah. But
that's cut.
That's cutting. But I think that he's certainly on alert.
I think
right
his
now.
Response would be the same for that. Either way,
he's on alert right now.
Who was the guy that kept the Patriots in the game against Arizona? Gostkowski made it a much closer game. I know at the NFL, if you're going to get Lombardi, everyone needs to be in pressure situations. However, if he's going to miss a kick, then I'm okay against teams like Buffalo where the other weapons can make touchdowns. But if
what about against Arizona?
With the game on the line.
But if Gostkowski performs the rest of the season like he did against the Cardinals, he
then you will lose close games because he missed the game-winning kick.
He should have no problem with field goals.
Yeah.
Did he not watch the end of the Cardinals game? I think he clicked it off or something.
Yeah.
He cost you a win. I don't like to put all the pressure on one person, but if he hits that kick, you win.
Yeah, badly as you were outplayed that day and as badly as you played, you had a chance to steal it, yeah, and you lost it. And listen, no one's advocating, you know, you got to get rid of this guy.
No, I like him. I think he's pretty good.
I love him. I love talking to him. I think he's a really good guy. But he's clearly dealing with something right now. And I've seen this happen with kids. Look at Billy Cundiff. Billy Cundiff missed that kick last year. He hasn't been the same since. He got cut by Baltimore. He went to Washington. He missed three the other day. He finally made one at the end of the game. Give him credit for making the game winner with the pressure on him. But these guys can lose it quickly. That's a Pro Bowl.
Look at Vanderjack.
That's a Pro Bowl kicker.
At one time, Vanderjack was the most accurate kicker in history, right?
Now they all are. Every time I watch TV, they're telling me the guy's the most accurate kicker.
It's kind of like the television ratings, isn't it?
It's amazing. Yeah. It's Gostkowski. It's Robbie Gould. It's
all right.
Everybody's the most accurate kicker in NFL history. I don't know how that's possible.
Keith is in Orlando. Hey, guys, who can out-analyze anyone? And Eric. So, hey, guys.
Can you read that again? Yeah. It's praising us.
Right. Hey, guys, who can out-analyze anyone? And Eric.
Right.
Who does the second thoughts.
Well, it takes him twice watching a game to figure out what happened.
And as I've said in the past, and we'll continue to say, he should watch all the games twice, and maybe he would be able to pick one of them every once in a while.
Can we pump the brakes on the pump the brakes phrase?
Hey, pump the brakes on this email.
I think you filled the quota for the decade during last show. Maybe get a sponsor, Midas Pump the Brakes or something.
And it can, like, squeak because you need new brakes.
Well, that would be a good segment. Like, you pick something around the league like everyone's going crazy about, and that's your pump the brake of the week.
Yes.
You know?
That's a good segment.
Yeah.
Well, that's not my guy.
I'm also pretty sure red bone refers to hair color. No, we got the translation of that. That's like a fanatic. It's a supporter. That's
an athletic supporter.
No football this time. I only have jokes. Thanks for the therapy last week, Fred. I'm singing Zippity Doo Dah and All Is Right with My World again. I'm glad you were able to work out that win for us all. We needed it bad. My pleasure.
He actually flicked the switch. He was the one who flicked the switch midway through the third quarter.
Right. Joe in Michigan writes in. A lot of emails coming in.
Good, because we're an email-driven show. People like when we read emails. They don't like when we take callers, especially Jeff in Vegas.
Callers are good, too.
Yeah, I like emails. We can cut off emails, go on a tangent, and then come back to it.
I like when emailers have a real strong opinion that Paul disagrees with.
I was thinking
about that. I like that, too.
Speaking of random topics, is FIFA soccer on a video game more popular than soccer in the U.S.?
I would say yes.
I think so, too, and I think that's amazing. I don't know what it means.
I don't know what you're saying.
The video game version of soccer is more popular than soccer in the U.S., playing it on Xbox and stuff.
So, like, more people do that than watch soccer?
I'm just throwing it out.
I don't even think it's close.
Really?
Which amazes me.
I've never heard of anybody playing the video game.
I just saw some stat come across.
Ocho used to talk about it all the time.
FIFA 2K13 outsold.
Watch soccer.
Yeah, that's true. He did watch, too. Yeah.
Well, but he didn't watch soccer in the U.S. Ask him about the MLS.
Oh, you mean like MLS?
How many MLS games did he go to?
U.S. soccer, but he watched it in the U.S.
Yeah, because plenty of people watch good soccer.
Yeah, well, that's
talking about.
That's what I thought.
But that's my point.
I think it's a blowout.
You're talking about the MLS.
Is more popular than the MLS.
Yeah, well, I think you're probably right.
Yeah,
that's amazing to me.
FIFA, that's a hot game on Xbox.
No, I know. I saw Darren Rovell was tweeting how many it sold, and it's all this.
I'm always surprised to see how many people, Eric does a little bit too. They watch the international soccer, the Premier League. They keep up with it. They know when the matches are coming.
But he does it because he thinks it's cool intellectual thing to do.
Because he's everything anti-America.
Right. What I wish he'd be that was anti-America? His residency.
He can't believe his lot in life that, A, he's American. He had to be one of these pigs. B, he had to go to Boston University, the same school that I got into without opening a book for 4 years of high school. And C, he has to work with us pigs here at Patriots.com and on PFW in Progress. So, really, it's just a...
That really turned ugly.
It's just a wide swept disappointment.
Tell us how you really feel.
And yet, Paul goes for a drink with him every morning at 10 a.m.
You want to get a Pepsi, Eric?
You tell me that part that was incorrect.
No, he has disdain for his lot in life.
And the country.
Oh, yeah. Well, not the country.
Oh, stop
it. No, he will tell you he's...
Everything in Europe is better to him.
He pretends he supports America, but he doesn't.
The sensibilities, yeah, but he loves... he will tell you he loves...
He will tell you.
I know he'll tell you.
He will tell you he loves women.
Well, that's a good point, Andy. Good point.
That's the part that he thinks was the good point.
Well, no, but you draw that analogy, and then I can see where, there's a consistency there. Yeah. Joe in Michigan says, hey, guys, and possibly Eric, not after that rant.
He'll be by later and crying.
given the recent injury bug to the Jets, the underwhelming performance from the immense amount of talent on the Bills and the young rebuilding Dolphins, how do you see this division turning out in the end? I know you all picked the Patriots to win the division, but I don't remember how easily. I now have the Patriots at 13-3, Bills at 8-8. Dolphins at 6-10, Jets at 5-11. Wow. I believe the Jets have lost too many important pieces to even have a chance to compete. Hope to hear you guys' thoughts. Keep up the great work.
I don't know talent wise if they're 5-11. I think if they end up 5-11, it's because it just spirals out of control.
Well, that's why I want to see them play a couple of games without these guys. I mean, if they continue to do what they did on Sunday and they roll over, then I think you're absolutely right. They'll be hard pressed to win five.
But I don't think it's just talent.
Because they laid down. That wasn't talent. They laid down.
Well, the Bills laid down on Sunday too.
I think the bottom line is
we
all picked them to win the AFC East. Do you think it's easier now than before the season?
Yes, because I thought the Jets would be the second-best team, and then clearly in disarray.
And I thought that the Bills would be the second-best team, and we beat them at home in Buffalo, so I have to say yes, too, now.
Yeah, I think losing arguably the second-best player in the division, wherever you put Revis, he's one of the top two or three players in the division. Losing him, that's a dramatic loss.
It really is.
Now, at the break...
For the Jets, that's actually kind of equivalent because of... They're a defensive-minded team to losing Brady. I mean, you lost the centerpiece of your defense.
It completely exposes Cromartie.
I would say completely exposes everything, including Rex
Ryan
and his
schemes. It's the way they want to play defense, and I don't know if you can continue to do that. We talked about during the break. It's funny because we can talk about the Jets in these terms like this, these absolutes. Well, what's their record?
Right.
2-2. It's the same as your record. They're 2-0 in the division. They lost two games to two very good teams. On the road to Pittsburgh, there's no shame in that. And then they lost to San Francisco. There's a shame in how they lost to San Francisco.
Right.
Because they rolled over like a bunch of dogs. But there's no shame in losing the game. I just think they're in total and utter disarray. And I don't think Sunday was an aberration. I think that's going to happen.
One thing we've seen from the Jets is when they lose a guy on short notice, they don't adjust very well. Remember Jim Leonard?
Yeah, Jim Leonard stinks.
But he was a big part of their defense, and after that one, they bounced back after we killed them.
That's because they're an emotional
team.
But
I don't think...
The ex-player type coach, and I know he's not an ex-player, but that's the type he is.
That's what I was going to get to.
It's an emotional team. It's not the even keel.
Right.
And we've talked about how sometimes that benefits you.
That was the point I was
going to make. Sometimes you can get yourself up for a big game, and we've often talked about it in juxtaposition to the Patriots. They're even keeled. And maybe to a negative, to at a cost at some point, because they don't get jacked up and dial it up and Super Bowls and the greatest game ever or whatever. I think there's a discussion point there, but there's no doubt they are as an emotional team as there is. And if you ride the high, you got a low coming.
Mike from Ottawa, I was turning into your podcast last night. With all due respect, Paul and Andy, I think you guys are underestimating too many teams in the NFL. One comment stuck out in particular where Paul, I think, said, Patriots will kill the Seahawks by 20. Despite the debacle call on Monday night, the game as a whole, their defense still shut down the Green Bay's offense to 14 points. Unless you're implying Green Bay has a terrible offense.
It hasn't been good so far.
I highly doubt
that. How many times did Aaron Rodgers get sacked in the first half of that game?
Eight.
Do you think Tom Brady's going to go to Seattle and get sacked eight times in the first half?
He just says, I highly doubt the Patriots.
But the Packers' offense hasn't been this year what it was last year. So you can't even say, the Packers' offense. They're not the same offense right now.
Another point is Arizona. There were many mistakes made by the Patriots every game. However, Arizona is a good team minus an elite quarterback. Now let's look at Denver. Unless you're suggesting
Denver's a good team. That's the one good team they play until they get to Houston and San Francisco.
Unless you're suggesting Peyton Manning is not close to what he used to be, and even if he isn't where he used to be, look at their defense. Their front four is good. if not better than the Giants, with two stud edge rushers.
Their front four is nowhere near the Giants.
And rookie Derek Wolfe inside making impact plays on a weekly basis. If you compare that to even the Giants' defense, they're as good, if not better in the front. Their secondary is far superior.
Not even close.
Now, this is a shot at Paul. You can't just dismiss all these teams and say if the Patriots killed them, that means nothing.
So this is what it's all about right here. Now, you got what you wanted, Freddie. You were looking for me to get mad at an email?
That's it. I'm mad.
You got what you wanted. The Patriots fans, this is a remarkable phenomenon to me about Patriots fans. It's not enough that they're the best team. You know, over the last 12 years, would you say conservatively, they've been either the best team or one of the three best teams in football every year. But you can't just say that because that's not giving them enough credit, Andy. You have to also say that they're better than everybody else, and they played everybody else in situations without this guy or that guy and on the road. And you can't say that they had an easy schedule because that's disrespectful to the Patriots. It's also a fact, but you can't say it. We talked off the air in between the break. I overheard Tony Maz and Damon Amendola, two guys that are on the Sports Hub, 98.5, the Sports Hub. It wasn't me. Fred, disgusted with the smell in the radio studio in the middle of my rant.
I think Kevin's lighting it up in the producer's booth.
Crapped himself.
He opened the door and, oh, my God.
The line of thought was that the schedule was suddenly more difficult than we thought it was. I think it's just the opposite. I think we thought it was an easy schedule. It's become easier because one of the teams that most people thought would be challenging was the Jets.
Right.
The Jets have lost all their good players. So those two games shape up to be cream puffs. Because Seattle is tough in Seattle doesn't mean that they suddenly have a formidable team or a formidable offense. These guys were also talking about St. Louis and London. That looked like a cream puff. It's still a cream puff. They're not very good.
They're worried about St. Louis?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Apparently, they don't think the Patriots are very good then.
Somehow, it's disrespectful to say that the Patriots are better than all these teams. I don't get it. I don't know why that's disrespectful. If the Patriots go to Seattle and lose, that's on the Patriots. Because Seattle is not anywhere near the caliber of the Patriots in terms of talent. Now, if you want to say that that's disrespectful to New England because I'm not giving them credit for beating good teams, I guess I'm guilty of it, but Arizona has yet to have 300 yards of offense in a game. I don't care what their record is. They obviously play defense well, but that lined up for a Patriots blowout because you have an offense that can score, and it didn't score that day. Arizona was not suddenly this great team. Okay, they're a little better than you thought, but they're not a great team. Seattle, there's no way that Tom Brady is going to get sacked 8 times in the first half of that game. No way. What did Green Bay not do that day that the Patriots might do? Run the ball?
Right.
Maybe?
Yep.
To protect the offensive line?
They refused in the first half anyway.
And I'm not dismissing Green Bay. I think Green Bay's a good team, but Andy's right. Andy's absolutely right. This year and over the first month of the season, that offense hasn't been great.
TG and NJ writes in, Men of Football, recent observations and questions. As far as the goalpost debate, one solution for dome stadiums would be to hang the uprights from the roof like they hang down from the roof in the field house. Outdoor stadiums might be able to do it with wires like the Sky Camera, but wind would be a factor, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it would be.
Because they already have cables in place that hold the net, so they could do whatever they wanted, but I don't think it would be very secure and safe.
Are we concerned about Dan Copen giving away company secrets this week? He knows a lot.
He does. Sure. I mean, there's an example.
Way more than any other player
That's an example of a guy who obviously knows what he was here all of training camp. He knows what they wanted to do running the football.
Protections.
And all that
everything.
Stuff. Protection calls and schemes. They probably had to put some work in this week, making sure that they had some dummy
and
calls and whatnot.
Speaking of Matt Copen, Dan Copen, his number 67 will be worn by Matt Tennant this week. He's taking over number 67.
Wasn't even cold yet, and they gave it away.
Right. Right.
Any coincidence that happened this week?
I wouldn't rule it out. Wouldn't rule it out.
And why the number change?
Fred loves the conspiracy.
McLean wasn't 67, right?
No.
So why
was Copen? Those last guys.
So why was Matt Tennant signed as 69 on Saturday?
Unless what was Thomas Austin?
Because
they also released Thomas Austin off the practice squad.
Yeah, he might have been 67.
And maybe he was 67.
Tennant said, "I'm not wearing 69."
And they brought back Alex Silvestro.
Right. Met Tennant's father, Lou.
Where you met Matt Tennant's father?
Yeah, Lou.
Lou?
Lou Tennant.
I'm only just kidding.
I didn't mean it.
I think that's one of your funnier jokes of all time. Did you get that
of all time?
Yes. You don't have a lot to pull from.
No, actually, we were talking about that Saturday at dinner, Lieutenant.
Who's we?
Just the people at the table.
It's just
oh, lost. So now it's a
it just
a
lost
secret.
A little. It lost a little luster. Oh, yeah. No, he's big into secrets now. He can't tell us things.
You can't tell us who.
Well, you know, it's the usual B-Lo and Gervati.
Oh, okay.
All those guys.
I didn't know if you big-timed them.
So you had friends this week on the road?
I did.
Word is that you've had the ability to have friends on the road every week and sort of have shunned your friends.
I don't think that's true.
Well, one is where it is. You get there and you immediately... As you've always done, I'll meet you downstairs in 5 minutes for dinner.
Yeah, is that
Most
true?
People want to, like, unwind a little.
Where's this word coming from?
No, we can't tell you.
As a matter of fact, the two photographers wanted to go out at 6:30 last game, and I waited till 7:30.
So. Maybe they should go out at 6:30, though. Best game ever. They should repeat whatever they did last week. Best game ever for photos.
It really was. In fact, I just got word that Diane Sawyer, CBS, is she with CBS? What station is she? ABC?
I don't know.
ABC, I believe.
They're going to feature Keith's photo on World News Tonight.
Are they really?
Yep.
That's awesome. Yep. It should be. It's the best photo I've ever seen.
If people don't know what we're talking about.
By the app.
Keith Nordstrom took a photo of Brandon Lloyd's touchdown. He's laid out parallel to the ground, seemingly looking into the camera and smiling. Just an amazing
photo.
And
it's not fake. Everybody thinks it's fake. It's not fake. Yeah. It's real.
It's a great, great photo. So, and it's been Boston Magazine did a little thing on it yesterday. It's been on a couple websites.
Is anybody telling them that it's a Patriots Football Weekly photographer?
We're trying to work that out, yeah.
Because so far I haven't seen us mentioned other than me when I retweeted the Patriots. The Patriots didn't even acknowledge it was a Patriots Football Weekly photographer.
And then NFL.com had, like, photos of the week. It wasn't even one of them. And they had a photo from our game.
Idiocy everywhere.
Yeah. I, crazy.
I mean, I was not joking yesterday. I think that should be NFL Photo of the Year.
Oh, I think it's in the running.
It's the greatest I've ever seen. I've seen other winners in the past, and to me, that's the greatest photo I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, it should be in commercial campaigns about, like, how much you love the game, and it's the greatest thing I've ever
seen. And the thing about it, like,
I'd have to look
a couple years ago, there was a Cincinnati Bengals guy that did the somersault into the end zone, and he landed on his feet. And that was a great play, but more for video.
Right.
There's certain things that look better, actually, in a still photo, and this is it.
Well, if you caught that guy in mid-somersault over the top of him and you had just still shot? Well,
he'd also have to look at the camera and say, cheese.
Oh, see, right. I'm not blown away by that aspect.
Oh, that's the part that makes it.
Me too.
Yeah, I think that makes it kitschy. I don't necessarily think make it a great, like, sports shot.
Wow.
Oh, the diving catch is run-of-the-mill.
Right.
The diving catch makes it one of the best 50 of the year. The smile and the eyes looking directly into the lens to me make it the best I've ever seen.
Okay. Right. That's what makes it different, I think. I agree. Paul doesn't like that.
I didn't say I didn't like it.
It's just because everybody likes it. He's going to be the contrarian.
No. I thought...
And the officials still suck!
I think it's a better shot than you're giving it credit for, just without the face. I actually think it's better than you guys do, I think.
Let's finish TG and NJ's email. How much are you guys concerned about Hightower's injury? Should they be cautious and hold him out longer, or are we going to need him back sooner?
I have no idea. I'd have to know somehow.
Impossible.
Bummed out about Jabbar going to Miami. Gaffney did sign there. I thought he would return to the Patriots once he healed up from his training camp injury. At least he didn't go to the Jets.
Yeah, he's been healed up, by the way, for a long time.
And what do we need him for?
He's had many many visits and workouts with various teams.
Branch can't get
on the field now.
Right, and we got superstar Julian Edelman will be back soon.
How motivated is
Don't
Josh?
Don't discount May.
Mm-hmm. May?
He had a good May.
Yeah. Oh.
I thought you said, "Don't discount me."
Yeah, May. I thought he said May. A funny me.
How motivated is Josh this week? If the Patriots win, he'll yell and carry on like he will. He yell and carry on like he did when he beat the Patriots in Denver.
No,
Fred will be all right with it,
but he won't.
I hope he does. He's learned his lesson. Can we run the ball on Denver? Should we take that as a game plan? Try to keep Manning off the field.
I am not trying to quote keep Manning off the field. He's not in an offense as great as he once was.
No.
This is not the clicking offense of Wayne and Harrison and Dallas Clark that was once upon ago.
And you also, you know, If you move the ball and score, I think one of the most overrated things is keeping the other team's offense off the
field.
But
I think that you do approach this a lot like the Bills game, where you do want to establish the run to kind of.
What was their time of possession in that game, out of curiosity?
Just hold on for a second. You do want to establish a run to kind of neutralize those edge rushers, which we thought the Bills had. They didn't end up having
it. But my point is, if you're scoring points, you're dictating the way the game is played. If you're worried about just chewing up clock,
that's
you might not be scoring points.
I didn't say
so
that.
I don't want to establish the run for anything else other than to score points.
And that's exactly why, because I want to open that up. I don't want to put the pressure on Brady. I want to establish a run so they have to look at it, which will open up, you know, the passing lanes, and you know, all of a sudden Rob Gronkowski is wide open down the middle.
Yeah,
that was a direct result of the running game.
We'll disagree.
It had nothing to do with possession.
We'll disagree. I think that they throw the ball, and that's how they score points, and they move the ball, and the running is gravy. That's how I look at it.
I think you do what you think will be successful against the given
team. Of course you do.
You don't force feed the pass just because you pass the ball.
I think if you force feed the run, you won't move against most teams.
Well, I don't know. Maybe this team, but I'm saying
I don't think teams run the ball very well anymore in the NFL. I mean, I think you can have aberrations and exceptions here and there, but Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Wes Welker, Brandon Lloyd, Aaron Hernandez when he's back, that's how you're going to win games.
Paul, particularly cranky today.
Yeah,
I am. That's all right.
You made me that way.
Ooh.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Larry is in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing much. How you doing? Pizza's coming up.
Same old, same old. I was just calling getting tired of the backfield because the trade deadline is in, what, week six, I believe?
Week eight this year.
Week eight?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so I believe they need to shake a move because I can't, even though we know Brady can take us to a Super Bowl, I do not want to take a heartbreaker again because my defense, you know, of course, the offense don't move the ball a lot in the Super Bowls, but when it comes down to that defense to make the play to win the Super Bowl, I'm not very confident with the secondary we have. And I feel like we need to make some type of move to solidify that backfield.
Do you have any ideas?
I don't know. Throw a first-round pick for somewhere. Somebody's got to, you know, catch something, you know?
No, but who's looking to unload a starting corner or safety? A good starting corner or safety? Regardless of what you have to give up.
Well, I don't know really, but
I mean, I think we've seen that good corners and safeties are either first-round picks that teams try to go get, or they get $50 million. I mean, Brandon Carr got $50 million, and he was essentially a number two corner in Kansas City.
Right.
I mean, those things are at a premium. You know, we always talk about quarterbacks aren't enough
Look
to go
the
around. There's not
for
enough
the Chargers.
Anything.
What's his name?
Weddle. I mean, $42 million.
Yeah.
As a not a first-round pick.
Well, Weddle was a little, it paid a little bit too much for him, so.
But my point is, there aren't enough to go around, so the good ones cost a lot.
When you get one that you feel comfortable with, either you hold on to him or he becomes too expensive.
I mean, Jason McCourty just signed a $40 million deal with $20 million guaranteed. Do you think he's worth it? No, I don't, but he's worth it if that's what the market says he's worth.
Well, it could be Devin McCourty over there. We don't know.
But that's what I'm saying is I could see a scenario that next year this time Devin McCourty is signing one of those contracts because they look at it and say, I need to hold on to this guy. And most people would probably argue and say he's not worth it.
If we hand him $20 million guaranteed, that is, oh, my God, worst contract ever.
Yeah, that's money down the drain.
Well, what if he really does progress this year? And,
oh, okay, if he's a better player?
Yeah.
Sure, but I'm saying what I've seen over the last year and four games.
Right, if you had to make the judgment right now.
I'd say peace out.
Right.
Yeah, because the way we, like, I used to play football, and you know, I used to play defensive back. The thing is, the way he just let receivers get a free release and, you're not going to catch up. And this is the NFL. Everybody is good. And you just let people just, you know, he had his good game in Buffalo, but, you know, that's what happens when the Andre Johnsons come around and all these other cats come around. They're going to take advantage of those balls, and better quarterbacks, they're going to take advantage of the ball. Well,
I agree with you, but who are you going to get that's going to be better?
When you talk about the Andre Johnsons and the Calvin Johnsons, those guys do it against everyone. That's why when you got a guy like Revis – I mean, where he can actually shut these guys down or at least compete with them. That's why Revis gets so much money, but there's not a lot of guys like him
and
out
certainly
there.
Not a guy that's available. I think Andy's point is the one.
And Devin's rookie year, he hanged with Calvin Johnson.
Did he really? I mean, I don't know.
He was more competitive as a rookie than he has been for you.
I got to look back at
those
games.
But he was also a first-round pick, and that's what he's supposed to be. The disappointment is that he's not that. If he was that, you wouldn't be saying at the trading deadline, I got to go acquire a guy who can cover. But I just don't think you're going to be able to find anybody that becomes one of your top three corners immediately or a starting safety or anything like that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm being negative. Maybe I'm pessimistic.
I mean, there's a reason why this is a passing league, and there's a reason why these quarterbacks and offenses are putting up these gaudy numbers every week because, you know, they're outmatched. They're outmatching the talent in most defensive backfields.
I've said this in the past. I think cornerback in the NFL may be the hardest athletic position to play on the planet. To be able to turn and run with a guy when you're not allowed to touch him at all. If you breathe on him, it's a penalty.
He knows where he's going. You don't.
I literally think it's the hardest athletic position to play on the planet.
Yeah. I mean, thanks a lot for the call, Larry. I mean, you talk about baseball, like a good batter bats over 300. I mean, that's really good. They're over 30%. You know, I would say cornerback, it's almost the same thing. Like a number of times you're targeted as a cornerback. I mean, if you can be fit 500, you're really good.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Yeah, I think I'm not sure people have the appreciation of how hard it is when we rip people. He's there. He's got to make a turn your head.
Right.
You turn your head.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Andy's point is a good one, too, with the whole trade deadline. I mean, think about the trades. We know how few trades there are in general at the trade deadline. But think about the ones that you had and try to come up with a guy who wasn't getting traded largely because he was disgruntled. You know, it's always a contract thing, or you get a guy out of, you know, out of there before he becomes, you know, like we did with Moss.
Right.
It's always some kind of asterisk next to that guy. There aren't a lot of guys. You can't just say, well, you know, Kansas City looks like they're out of it. You know, maybe we'll trade them a first-round pick for Brandon Flowers. And I don't think Kansas City's going to do that.
I would.
That's a guy that they want to build around.
Right.
You know?
I mean, your better option might be, you know, I don't know the names that are out there, but like a Lee Bodden, who's not that old and has been out of football
Chris
now for a year and a half.
Chris Carr just signed with somebody, San Diego,
right.
I think. We had him in a couple of weeks ago for a look. And
try to catch lightning in
saw.
A bottle and hope that he's got a little something left, but... To say you're going to trade for an impact pass defender, dubious.
Nick the Swede writes in, just came home from a job interview. Hope you got it.
Nick the Swede.
nothing better than to relax with some live PFW in progress. Question.
You could relax with one of the many beautiful blondes that live in your country who, I've been told, go around topless a lot. You loser.
Is that right? Just around the street?
Yes.
Really?
They just show their tatas everywhere.
Huh.
Because that was the newspaper. Everything goes over there. That was the newspaper that on the cover said,
right.
I just got effed by the NFL refs or whatever, and didn't say effed. It said
right. The
word.
Question, who do you think is, A, the most underrated Patriots player on the roster and the most overrated Patriots player on the roster? And what about the rest of the league?
The most.
Well, Fred thinks that Clay Matthews is. Just waiting for that.
I went with, let's see. Patriots underrated, overrated.
Underrated Patriot, Kyle Love?
He was a guy that immediately popped to my mind.
Is he now rated? I don't know. I would say Kyle Love is certainly in the running for the most underrated Patriot.
Do we have to go with the overrated? Because you're going to get mad.
Tom Brady.
No.
Oh, I don't know.
Underrated.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
Most underrated? I rate them all very highly.
Oh,
I know. That's hard for you.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle Love's a good one, but I've always liked Kyle Love.
But no. But it's not whether
it's
you
not
like
him
or
not.
Is he rated? I mean, does
I
everybody else like him?
Kyle Love was the very first name that popped into my mind.
Yeah.
Most overrated.
Uh-oh. I mean, maybe Bill would tell you Ninkovich is the most underrated because of all the little things that he does that doesn't show up on stats, you know. But it does show up on the coach's film when you know this is what he was supposed to do in this play and he did it.
Most overrated Patriot.
Overrated.
It's weird to say.
Maybe right now, Patrick Chung.
He's in the running.
That's a good one. I was going to say McCourty, but I think yours is better.
Oh, I don't think McCourty's overrated
anymore. I was going to start by saying the last 2 weeks, it's sort of been a roller coaster for him. But I still think that there's a lot of people out there that think he played really well.
Well, we have a selective memory of Patrick Chung. First of all, he's not always on the field. But we remember the big hits and the, you know, the good plays he's had, and he's had some. But we forget some of the times where he's looked lost in coverage.
But remember when I did that thing where I looked for the, quote, crooked numbers in the playmaking categories, and there's not a lot of them. Yeah. Your memory is actually more favorable for him. I have to say it because it's kind of my reputation on this show, but Gerard Mayo
Oh, you're nuts.
He's in the running. He's in the running.
He's an all-pro.
And I think that...
And I don't think he's an all-pro.
If you ask the coaches, they would value him, his weight in gold.
And that's fine.
Because of what he does on the field.
Right, I know.
You know?
They like cerebral assassins. I like assassins.
Well, okay. But, you know, you're getting on him for not the right reasons.
I'm not getting on him. You can be overrated and still
be a
good player.
Yeah, I think he's the glue that holds that defense together.
Well, why
wow, they'd be 32nd without that glue.
Why, when he's out, is there no difference? And you can't argue that.
They take him out for
No. He's gotten hurt two of the last 3 years, I believe. He's missed time.
Well, yeah.
And there's been no difference.
Well, guys step up, but I think over an extended
been an extended period. And it's not necessarily the glue, is my point.
I think you guys underrate him. Absolutely.
That could be true, too.
You know who I think
was in the eye of the beholder?
Overrated for the first month, based just on fan perception, was Brandon Lloyd. Because they saw him being thrown the ball a lot. Everybody thought he was great. He didn't make any plays. He was catching all these little screens at the line of scrimmage. And the other day, I thought you saw him in what I want him to be. I'm only going to throw to him 3-4 times a game, but one could be a 25-yard diving touchdown or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's like people saw the number of throws and equated that to, well, they never did that with Ocho, so he's much better. The production really wasn't all that impressive for him through the first three games.
Yep.
How about around the league?
Most overrated, Cam Newton. MVP.
That's a good one. I had, you know, Andy got mad at me because
Is this going to be another freaking Sean Lee discussion?
I took a liking to Sean Lee, linebacker for the Cowboys. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's great. He blows up screen passes when the two linemen in front of him just miss him. Did you see that the other night? There was a screen pass, and I literally, first thing I thought of was you. There's two linemen and a running back behind him, and both linemen thought the other guy was going to block Sean Lee, so he just ran between him.
You're lucky I didn't watch the game. I would have.
I mean, it was a Dan Klecko blown up. No one blocked him. There were two guys there who thought the other guy was going
to
get him.
You see how hard it is to convince him of anything?
Oh, yeah.
Even when the guy makes plays, he just says, well, that's because the other guys didn't block him.
He's a good player. There's no doubt he's a good player.
And I just didn't, maybe it's because of me. Maybe I feel like he's underrated because I didn't know a lot about him. Yeah, that's a reason why I would like him.
At the Vikings on TV, and there's got to be somebody on that team that's underrated because they're playing pretty well.
This guy, other than I think, Adrian is a little Peterson. Underrated right there. They're showing Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
I think he does a lot of different things well.
Yeah.
They stink, the Vikings, by the way.
Fraud? They're not what they are? What their record
says
they
lost to the Jaguars.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, they beat the Jaguars. I'm sorry. They beat the Jaguars in overtime.
Joel in Merrimack says, looking forward to the Denver game, although I have my doubts about our ability to cover the middle of the field. I think we can get pressure on Manning and make him throw a few picks, which he's already done this season. Denver has a pretty good defense, so I'm wondering about our ability to run against them. We talked about that earlier.
Well, we've run well against them in the past, .140 in both games last year, and obviously you're running now based on last week. So,
yep. I mean, they want to get at Brady, and I think you got to neutralize that. I see where we signed Carpenter back. Do you guys know how bad Hightower's hamstring is? We don't.
Well, we kind of do. He walked in and out of the locker room normal today. Like, usually when guys are bad, either they don't show up, and it's usually because they're in the training room with he looked like he was going back and forth to the dinner/coaches' rooms areas in and out that door. So, to me, that's a positive.
Okay.
That he's focusing on sort of a normal day of preparation as opposed to, the guy can barely walk and he's going to be in the training room.
Right.
And I know that it's probably unfair to do this, but I worry more about hamstrings with, running backs, receivers, guys that really need to explode and run full tilt all the time. I don't know. I think a linebacker you can get away with being a little bit less than. Now, you can't just pull
He just diminishes the value of the athleticism.
No, I don't.
But on the other hand.
And I started off by saying it's probably a little unfair.
It is.
But do you worry, though, about a linebacker?
I think he can play with a hamstring at less than 100%.
Do you worry, though, about a linebacker who tweaked his hamstring making, a routine play? It wasn't routine. He was chasing down a quarterback. But, I mean, do you worry that you don't hear about linebackers tweaking hamstrings a lot.
Oh, I think everybody can pull a hamstring.
Yeah, but
anybody who fires out and
it mostly wide receivers and the smaller guys?
I guess, but I don't know. I haven't done any research on frequency of hamstring injuries by
position. And that's a perfect kind of play where he's running full speed
right
from the backside chasing down a quarterback. That can happen.
I mean, I think anybody can.
Absolutely.
I think you can blow an Achilles or a hamstring. Anytime you're exploding off, there's a firing and a tightness that could lead to an injury.
Manning, by the way, and we talked about this, Andy, before you got there, all his interceptions, one quarter.
Right.
He threw three picks in the first quarter against Atlanta. None in any other game.
Yeah.
None before or since.
Yeah.
8 touchdowns, no interceptions other than the first quarter against Atlanta. So he might throw a few this week. I mean, he's due. He hasn't thrown one in a while.
Freddie, another topic I want to bring up, and I don't really know what to make of this, if it's just a statistical aberration, but I don't know if you've noticed. I believe we have, 7 sacks for 17 yards lost? We're averaging 2 yards a sack lost. We have like 3 sacks for no loss right at the line of scrimmage. And I look at everybody else, like Manning, I think, has been sacked 8 times for 50 yards. Everybody else, it's like 5 or 6 yards. Where do you think? The quarterback is 6 yards deep. And we have all these short sacks, and I don't know what to make of it.
Okay. I don't either, but I'm guessing.
You're good at these, so go.
Could it be that, we're pressuring the pocket from all areas so the quarterback has nowhere to go? So it's kind of more of a corralling.
No,
I think
it's
the opposite.
He's going somewhere.
You know, the,
to get up to the line of scrimmage, he has to advance the ball 5 or 6 yards.
My guess is that, 7 sacks? My guess is 0-yard sacks in general to
we
me.
We have 3, right?
And I think we have 3 of them. Those are coverage sacks.
Is one
so
of them?
Give the secondary some credit on those plays because generally they're moving toward the line of scrimmage.
What do you get for the strip sack?
Where the ball was, where he fumbled.
Oh, so that was a 5-yard strip sack.
The one in
the
one of them was one of them was a 0-yard strip sack for Arizona.
No, I'm talking about Chandler Jones. Legit, like I don't even consider that one a strip sack.
That's what it went.
But to me, that's not a strip sack. The guy's running. The strip sack was him dropping back. Right. Chandler Jones got there and swatted the ball away.
I see your point.
But do you get the actual 6-yard loss for that or whatever?
Yes.
Okay, but I just thought it was something.
It's interesting.
Weird to look at numbers. You know,
but it could be what Paul said. They're more coverage sacks where the quarterback is just standing in the pocket.
Dante Hightower one, Fitzpatrick left the pocket, went all the way around the end,
and was going
toward the line of scrimmage, and Hightower ran him
down. They dropped Jones. That was like a zone blitz. They dropped Chandler Jones into coverage on that side, so he knew he had an opening on the outside left offensive edge, and I think that's why he ran that way. But it reminded me of the old Roosevelt Colvin when I once asked him, would you rather have a tackle for a loss for like 25 yards, like an end around or something where you bring, or a sack for no yards lost. And he picked the sack. Sack's a sack, man. And these are all Roosevelt Colvin sacks.
Joel says, on the subject of this email, I was looking at statistics on the NFL homepage, and I noticed how the statistics really don't tell you much. You have 3 out of the top 5 teams in passing yardage that are below 500. And why do they have most leaders based on yardage rather than points scored or points held? Makes no sense to me. Question time. Deion Branch has caught a total of 2 passes in 2 games against the Bills. He played 36 snaps and was targeted 0 times. I think he's becoming Mr. Irrelevant and might be cut when Hernandez comes back. What do you think?
Well, since he was already cut when Hernandez was here, I think that's a plausible possibility.
Yeah.
And if Edelman certainly comes back and they're both healthy. But, I mean, he disappeared for games last year. He had a lot of production in 3 games. Didn't he have, 3 games with 10 catches for around 100 yards, and then everything else was just kind of,
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a
possible. Absolutely.
He's beyond a secondary threat. He's a
tertiary.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is third tertiary?
Yeah.
That's how you say third?
Third, yeah.
Third, not thirdiary?
Brooklyn Matt on line 1 wants to talk to Andy.
LL from South Dakota, we were talking earlier, what would you rather have
L-O?
Brady or LL?
Cool J?
Who would you rather have, Brady or Belichick, if you had to choose one? He says, coming off the previous emailer, who do you think the Saints would rather have this year, Breeze or Peyton?
Breeze.
Not doing them much good.
I think they have a lot of issues.
Yeah. I see what... That's a good email.
Payton... there's already circling around Jason Garrett in Dallas, and somebody asked Sean Payton if he would be interested or something, and he said, I'd rather have a bounty question. I don't know if the league would like him joking about that in any way, though.
Chris with a TIAN.
See, I would spend the whole reason number 5,011 why I could never be an important person of any kind.
The first question that popped in my head is, where do you talk to Sean Payton? he's suspended from the league, right?
Like he can't talk?
Well, if Greg Williams is not allowed to talk to his son, then I don't think Sean Payton should be able to talk to reporters. No, I don't think he should.
Okay. No, I'm asking.
You think it's okay to keep one man from talking to his son?
No, I didn't say anything about it being okay.
They said, though, that these guys,
but his son,
if they're
is
like
a
at
coach,
a charity
right?
event, they're allowed to talk about the charity
his
event.
His son is a football coach, though, right, with that
yes.
team?
Yes.
So, I mean,
well,
I,
with the Rams.
I don't agree. Yeah, the team that Williams is
yeah.
on the staff
yeah.
of.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that, just for starters. I think that's...
It's his son. He was his son yeah. before he was a coach.
Right. I think it's ridiculous. But, I mean, I think the NFL is saying, I can't stop Sean Payton from actually speaking.
But I can stop Greg Williams from talking to his son?
To the coaches, to the football people of the St. Louis Rams.
No, the guy's not a coach. He's his son first.
I understand that, Andy, but he's a coach.
Are you really saying that he can have no contact with his son?
That's how I read it. And it's been lifted, by the way. It's been lifted.
No, I know.
He's now actually allowed to 10 games and stuff.
And just to be clear, I'm with you. I don't agree with it. But I mean, I think there's a difference between I'm not allowing this guy to talk at all, and I'm not allowing this guy to talk to the staff that he's part of.
His son!
About
the man whose sperm created him.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I do. And I think one is far more ridiculous than the other. I don't think Sean Payton should say anything about anything in terms of the NFL this year. You are banned from any intellectual contact with the National Football League.
Okay.
You're out.
All right.
But I think it's ridiculous that they can say you can't speak with your son.
Did they really say that?
That's what I think they said through 3 weeks, and then they lifted it.
Okay. Chris writes in, the Jets suck because their offensive philosophy is about 20 years behind.
Correct.
And their defense just isn't that good anymore. In a league that begs...
Not sure I'm on board with that one, but I'm definitely on board with the offense.
In a league that begs teams to throw the football, they want to run it. I think Rex is a very good coach, although Carlos Rogers saying the Jets didn't want to tackle and gave up last game is certainly not making him look good. It's true they have absolutely no weapons on offense and their quarterback and line are atrocious. However... On defense, besides Revis, who do they have? Pace, Harris, Cromartie? I mean, are these guys, three guys, really that good, or were they that good? Also, how good is Brian Thomas? Didn't they cut him last week and then bring him back after Revis tore his ACL?
I believe so.
Oh, I didn't know they brought him back. I knew they cut him.
Oh, I didn't either. I knew they cut him. I just assumed this guy knew they brought him back.
Yeah.
I know they signed Lexi Hilliard. Lexi Hilliard.
Yeah, I think that their defense would be fine if they had an offense that moved the ball. I really think that they...
I'm not a big fan of their defense.
I don't think it's great. I don't think it was what it was 2 years ago, but I think they would be fine.
And I agree with him on, like, the Calvin Pace, big money guy. I think he's a jag.
Yeah, I think more of him than you guys do.
Let's see. Reply to Paul from Mike in Ottawa. I didn't mean to offend you. Now I agree with you. Patriots fans have always been very defensive.
Mike, don't be a pansy. Don't back down just because he... Barked at.
All
you.
I'm
bark back.
All I'm saying is
bark.
You can't
I just disagree. That's all.
All I'm saying is you can't dismiss all these teams in the NFL. If you are saying the 49ers and Houston's are elite teams, I don't believe they have elite offenses either. There are teams in this league more than the Patriots rely on the defense than offense. Look at some of the individual talents in some of these defenses. Even if you think Patriots will win, you can't flat out dismiss these teams.
I'm not dismissing Houston and San Francisco.
It's not even about crediting the Patriots. I just like the comments to remain more fair about where things are at. I like Paul and Andy's response on the Packers. I fully disagree with you on the defense comparison against the Giants. Fact is, Giants secondary is anemic. Denver, Arizona defense have far more individual talent
than what they have as a whole.
Yeah, Denver has Champ Bailey. That's it in the secondary. Who's their starting safeties?
You're asking me?
I'm asking anybody.
He can't name the Patriots
right.
starting.
They don't center. Have. Denver does not have a great defense personnel wise.
And I actually thought when he said it the first time, he was talking about the front. I didn't know.
And he did. He was talking about the front. And I'll take Jason Pierre-Paul, Umanura, Tuck over Elmer's Doomerville and Von Miller. Because that's basically what you're saying. They have two edge guys that can rush the passer. The Giants have about five. And
NASCAR.
By the way, they've shown that can work against the Patriots. Denver, I saw them twice last year, not even get anywhere near Brady other than one play.
And that had nothing to do with Tebow.
No, I'm talking about the defense.
That's what I'm saying.
And what did you say the numbers that you used? 140 yards rushing?
Both times.
In both games. For a team last year that couldn't run the ball.
But that one time they got near him, they almost broke him.
No, I know. They lowered the boom on him once, but it's one time.
He nearly died.
Mike says, I really hope you read this. We did. I'd just like to thank you guys for the show, especially Andy. Over the years, I hated you.
Screw
but
you.
But gradually I started finding more and more logic and entertainment in your comments. I appreciate what you guys do. Keep up the great work.
See, I give you credit because most people, they just write me off as the lunatic who fights and yells. But you know that there's
reason.
Because
that's what you are.
No, I'm a lunatic who fights and yells, who also has some very good sound football analysis. And Bill Belichick liked it so much, he used it in the game plan on Sunday.
Absolutely. Mike, don't back down, though. It's just one of those things with this schedule that Fred and I have been talking about the last couple of weeks. Just because the schedule is weak doesn't take anything away from the accomplishment of beating the teams that you should beat.
And Fred will chime in January once the season is concluded.
Right. Then we'll
and
really know how
you know,
hard or easy.
When the Cardinals go 4-12, he'll deem that a bad loss, and right now it's a good loss.
That's correct.
Okay.
No, see, I they could go 16-0
almost. Good, Andy. You figured it out.
I mean, that's an exaggeration. But if they go 11-5, if Arizona goes 11-5, I saw those two teams play. The Patriots were far superior talent-wise. I saw them play on the field. The Patriots were so much better than Arizona, man for man that day. They just didn't play well. To me, it's still a bad loss.
Ross says Sunday is Thanksgiving in Canada. And it's noteworthy because McDaniel's fist pump game in Denver also fell on the Canadian Thanksgiving in 2009.
Interesting to
note
that.
Which we went on to lose in overtime. Home team wins this game around by double digits.
I agree.
I think it's going to be closer than that.
Okay.
I don't want to give away my prediction.
On the underrated, overrated question, Dave from Monterey, California says, underrated Kyle Love, Dane Fletcher, Stephen Gregory.
I think Dane Fletcher's overrated.
I will put Dane Fletcher in the overrated.
Overrated, McCurdy.
Oh.
Who's overrating him at this point? We're just hoping he comes back to some ground.
There was a guy, a prominent...
Those who elected him captain.
A prominent football analyst for the biggest newspaper in Boston last week said it was his best game as a Patriot.
It's Greg Bedard.
I
don't know why he's tiptoeing through Greg Bedard's name, but it's Greg Bedard.
The Baltimore game was his best game as a
Baltimore
Patriot.
Baltimore game.
that's better for you than the Buffalo game?
No.
Because he played a lot better against Buffalo than he did against Baltimore.
I'm going back, and I can't figure that out.
And just for equity purposes, the Boston Herald a day later called his performance against the Ravens a train wreck.
Well, that's what they do. We're getting back to the old times. I kind of like it.
I do, too. I'm all for it.
Newspaper wars.
I actually think they should do it. You know, there was a stupid article in the Globe yesterday that said McCourty was – I think they should call each other out by name, like we do on this show. Except Paul, who goes a prominent writer in Boston.
That's why they hate us.
Greg Bedard, at Greg Bedard.
Grimy Skiz from Miami writes
Strippers, don't do it.
Hey, guys, I want to know if Ty Law has been in the Patriots Hall of Fame yet, and does he have any chance at the NFL Hall of Fame?
Yes and no.
He is not in the Patriots Hall of Fame yet because he hasn't been eligible.
Correct.
Next year?
I think he's among that group next year, but he's going to lose out because I think Brewski's in that group next year.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. Brewski picked against the Patriots. I'm going to be starting a campaign. I'm going to start campaigning for Ty Law.
Screw Brew.
And as far as the NFL Hall of Fame, I think he's got an outside shot.
No. Outside, I would say.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Outside is where he belongs. He's not in the – he shouldn't be. And you certainly shouldn't think he should be.
No.
He was never the best corner in the game when he played.
I'm just basing it on who gets in there. Yeah.
I don't think he has really a legitimate shot.
What does that mean?
I think a lot of guys get into the Hall of Fame that shouldn't be in there.
Okay.
You know?
This is his thing where there should be
like 10
some
names.
Guys.
I'll go through the list and give it to you.
Okay.
You know?
I agree with Andy. I don't think he was as much as he was a great player. He was not the best cornerback of his time.
I'm not sure he was ever a great player. Very good player.
Well, I mean, he had all pro season. I mean, at least yeah.
So did Gerard Mayo. So Gerard Mayo, is he a great player? Is he a Hall of Famer?
No.
Brandon writes in, where do we go as far as improving
and Mayo
the secondary?
Go together.
Not in the immediate future, but long term. It can't be strictly draft and it can't be strictly free agent because the value doesn't match the price.
No, it can.
So it's a combination of both.
Well, no, I kind of agree with free agency. I think you have to hit in the draft. You need your Devin McCourty first round pick to be worthy of a first round pick. And I'm not saying he's the same thing as, you know, Patrick Peterson, who they take five, somewhere in there. But Darrell Revis was what, 17? I mean, you can get a mid-round
pick. In the
middle
of the first round anyway.
You need to hit on those draft picks. They've drafted too many guys in the first and second round, very high, that
I also think there's sort of a misperception about free agency in general. I think everybody thinks it's fool's gold. I think if you want to go and do the Mario Williams thing, I think then it can be fool's gold. I don't think that signing a guy from another team for that significant of a contract, Buffalo had to do it. They were desperate. The Patriots don't have to do things like that. I think that can be fool's gold, but I think you can make very good moves in free agency with guys that can fit what you want to do that are middle-of-the-road guys. They don't necessarily have to be big-money guys. Now, the Patriots, they had a tough year in that this year.
But Patriots have done that in the past, and they brought in a guy like Ted Washington. That might have been a trade.
It's a trade.
Right?
Yeah.
But still, you're bringing in guys.
But you know what I'm saying? Like,
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
I think you could supplement your roster with mid-level guys.
I don't think they need a supplement. I think they need a number one corner.
Oh,
I don't think you get a number one corner unless you pay $80 million, and most of the time when you pay that, he doesn't even end up being a number one corner.
I think
number one corners you need to draft.
Talking more just in general.
I'm all with you.
Corners, I would agree with Andy. I think you draft corners in the first round.
And hope that they are Pro Bowlers, and he was for 1 year.
Mark from Cheddar writes in, hey guys, in the will be by man. Right. I need to start by saying a quick email or emailer rant. Yesterday, Sam in Chicago said, the Patriots secondary is not a deep playoff contender / Super Bowl winning component. What a load of rubbish. We made a deep playoff run last year, and I think everyone agrees that our secondary is better than last year's, barely. Thank you to
I'm not necessarily willing to say that yet.
Thank you to Andy for putting the emailer straight. It isn't just Sam, though. Loads of people make the same statement. It is really annoying, and I would like PFW to start informing the world. Now, I will not be doing an over-under today, but I will send one in tomorrow. Today I have a hypothetical situation for you to discuss. The Patriots take it to the Super Bowl, and obviously we want them to win. I will give you two names. One of them is healthy and will stay healthy the whole time, and the other is injured and has to be made inactive. Who would you choose to play? Ready? Gregory or Wilson? You had the Super Bowl, and one had to be active, one had to be inactive.
Gregory active, Wilson inactive.
Active.
But I could switch that in like 2 weeks, just
You know. No, if Wilson ends up getting the job and starts the next 12 weeks, I'll change my mind.
Woodhead or Vereen?
Woodhead, I'd rather have active.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt.
I haven't seen anything from Vereen.
Welker or Hernandez?
I'd rather have Welker active.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's supposed to be a discussion here. If he put like Welker or
Taylor Price,
right? I mean, the idea is to have a little thought. I'd like you to answer.
Well, if it was Welker, Taylor Price, there's no thought involved. But
that's my point. See, These are supposed to be tough questions.
I'd have to think. I think I lean a little toward Hernandez.
Why?
Because of the versatility.
You can make that argument.
I can do more different things. You know, I can adjust mid-game with him a little bit.
He scored 52 more without Hernandez.
Oh, so now he's no good?
No!
Now, this is what he would say if I just said what he said. Oh, so you don't like Hernandez anymore? He stinks?
No,
you don't need him? Why don't you trade him then?
But clearly, your pattern is established that one guy's got 12 games left in his Patriots career, and you're showing him the door.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's always some ulterior motive with
Yes,
Paul.
It is.
I can't just make a game time decision because winning the Super Bowl isn't as important as setting up. Oh, come on,
now he acts like it's a
no.
Real
I think I don't think it's you're saying you're picking the lesser guy. I think that you convince yourself that Hernandez is the better guy because they've invested in him and they didn't invest in Welker, so he's better.
I think allows me to do more with my offense, especially if I have a one game situation.
You can argue that point.
And last one, I thought. This is the same thing.
I want the reliable guy.
I feel this is the most interesting and the whole reason I thought about this. Mayo or Spikes?
I want Mayo active.
Spikes.
I want Mayo.
And Andy's thing that Andy.
I want impact plays.
Andy talked about something yesterday that I think is important with Spikes, that whole thing about how many times he runs to the hole and sometimes it's not there, sometimes it is, and all that stuff. I think Mayo is in position more.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, again, more reliable. It's kind of similar to my Welker over Hernandez thing.
But I am going, maybe I'm using a different mindset than you guys. Like, under this premise, it's the current team, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the defense isn't very good or is questionable.
Yeah. So you're hoping you force a turnover.
I'm hoping to get a play that changes the game, and I think I'm more likely to get that from Spikes than Mayo.
Much
if
like,
you gave me a solid, reliable
like Fred's,
defense,
yeah.
I would take Mayo because I think Mayo can do his job
as
well as almost anyone. I know what I'm going to get.
He does his job better than Spikes does his, but Spikes might create a turnover or two.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that just like Fred's description of why he would take Hernandez, I think.
But if I didn't want to make mistakes, if my offense wasn't as good, I don't know how many I'm going to score. My defense is good, and it's about being consistent defensively, then it's Mayo.
Right.
But that's not what I am right now.
Mark says, personally, I find it hard to choose. Without Mayo, I worry that the defense wouldn't get aligned and then wouldn't communicate and there would be free receivers running open by 15 yards rather than the customary 10 yards. but without Spikes, this defense just doesn't seem to have the right attitude and seems quite flat. In the end, I would go for Spikes being active.
Good call.
As when he is active, whether or not he is actually on the field for that snap, the whole defense looks more aggressive, and besides, how Hightower can fill in for Mayo as the play caller.
I thought of you, Fred, because there's one of those DirecTV commercials or cable, whichever one is like, don't get bored because this and this happens, and the guy becomes a superhero, and he calls himself the Fist, and he's got a big band on his head that has a fist on it, and all I could think of was Spikes. We should get him a logo, the Fist.
Ramon in Dallas says, I had to chime in this because I had a similar rant a day or two ago. This is about the most overrated Patriot. To me, the most overrated Patriot is Tom Brady. Yeah, I said it. Tom freaking Brady. Yeah, I love the dude, and he's a great player. Don't get me wrong, but I'm tired of quote-unquote having the best quarterback and being scared to death when we have to make an offensive game-winning drive. I'm tired of coming up short in big games, Baltimore, infamous 4th-and-2, etc., and not just the Super Bowl. I'm definitely tired of seeing him not take over games as regularly as he should, like how I'll hear Eli or Rodgers does. He's still my quarterback, but I want it all from him more often than I get it. Wait, I probably shouldn't have said that. Said it that way, knowing Andy's mind. Belichick is also in the mix of being overrated, too, but that's but that's another rant. Defensive genius and best coach in the league, but all you could give me year after year are sorry-you-know-what defenses.
I think there's an element of that same thing with the bad schedule guys. They can't have it. All the credit that goes to Belichick and Brady is disrespectful to Patriots fans. We're the best 53 players. All of our guys are better than everybody else. I think there's an element of that to that email.
Who's closer to overrated, Belichick or Brady?
Brady.
Belichick.
Wow. What do you think, Fred?
I'm thinking.
And by the way, I do not think that Brady's overrated.
No, I'm saying closer or whatever.
I was answering your question legitimately as you asked it, not saying that I think one is overrated.
Belichick.
I think Bill I don't think there's other guys that do what Bill does. Maybe I'm a homer.
Not too many defensive geniuses put together 31st-ranked defenses.
Yeah.
Well, by drafting the players they want for their system because they are the architects.
I'm talking about the coach, not a GM.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, no. You're taking Bill and what his job is.
Okay.
And his job is the head honcho here with the New England
Patriots. I would have to say then, if you're taking all that against Brady, I would say Bill.
Good call, Fred. You're right.
You know?
I would say Brady.
That's because you hate him. You tried to trade him for Stafford like 5 years ago.
But I think I'd have the same amount of wins today if I did.
Frank writes in, when was the last time the Patriots have lost the first two home games? We beat ourselves for our home opener. This is for you, Fred. It'll be a blowout throughout the entire game in all aspects. 45-13 Patriots.
0-1?
First two home games.
Yeah, they lost to the Jets, and then didn't they lose another one after that? Oh, no, they beat the Colts.
Yeah, I think you got to go back a ways.
Jets was the home opener in that game. Yeah.
The Colts was the next home game.
Probably 2000. They lost to Tampa and Minnesota week 1 and 2 in 2000.
There you go.
So the first of the Bill Belichick era.
But they haven't done it since Brady was the quarterback.
That is correct.
And according to Mike Felger, when he was giving away tickets yesterday, this is the home opener. Caller number 15 gets tickets to the Patriots' home opener against the Denver Broncos.
Ratings came out, by the way.
That's typical typical Patriots fans. We'll ignore the home opener they lost.
98.5 won in the ratings again.
5 out of 6 ratings books they've won.
Yeah.
And the one that they lost was right during the Celtics playoff
run.
What does win mean? They just beat EEI.
They said they were number one. I don't know
in
what
the
that
men
means.
18 to 55. All shows?
I don't know what that – I said I don't know what that means.
Like the NFL says, it always wins.
Well, the Tutcher and the Rich was number one.
The Tutcher.
And EEI, I think, came in third. for
number
that
one
slot.
In sports or
no?
Like Maddie in the Morning is usually number one, isn't he?
I think they're looking for a certain demo, like in the demo that they're going after, men 18 to 55 or something like that.
I think they should be listening to Maddie in the Morning too. It's much better.
It's the best show on in the morning. Yeah.
It's our show. That's why we like it so much.
Why is it your show?
No. It's like this. It's crazy. There's the old guy who's been here forever. There's the guy they think is gay. That it's our show.
Oh, okay.
The only thing they have is a woman that we don't.
Well, we do.
No. But like back in the day when we kind of had like Lori on or something, then right. It's literally our show. And it's just a funny show. You never know where it's going. You never know what they're going to do.
It is very, very funny.
Speaking of having women on, Jackie UK hasn't been by in a long time.
I never knew
us.
She was bi.
A little busy.
I think she's shunning us, huh? Did something we said?
Freddie, on your iPhone.
Yes, you talked about her breasts. Remember when they were asked if Fred, who,
she pointed at the tape?
Yeah.
I told her to.
Fred, do you ever notice on your iPhone if it gets, seems like it's dimly lit?
Yeah, mine does that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why.
It's a
and then it pops
thing?
On its
you
own
have no
and
idea?
Pops off. Yeah. Okay.
Probably saving battery.
I think it has a sensor that doesn't always sense the right amount of light because I think it judges how bright it needs to be.
See, this is why I need to ask you guys my techie questions. You made fun of me yesterday. I just don't know. I don't know these answers.
Phil writes in, not to bring up a contentious issue, but isn't Paul pulling on Andy by taking an argument with a slither of truth to an absurd degree? Sure, the regular refs will make mistakes and blow calls, but does he really see no difference between them and the replacements?
No, he really sees it.
You are a colossal jerk.
Those guys were well and truly awful, and they've admitted that they were way out of their depth.
Can you just give me this guy's name? Phil, listen to me, please, just because you're going to listen to Andy, and you're going to get me incorrect. I have not said that there's no difference between these refs and the old refs. The old refs were far worse. They made far more mistakes. I want to state that clearly. My contention with the situation is we no longer talk about all the mistakes that the refs make the way we did about with the old ones.
But that's because you think the current refs are just as bad.
Right. No.
You have no greater appreciation for what they do.
No. The question that Fred asked me was, do I now appreciate the old guys better than I do? And I don't, because I think they suck. Just because they don't suck as bad as the replacements doesn't mean I have a greater appreciation for them.
Or a new appreciation.
Right. No, I don't. And I'm telling you, to me...
So you're okay with suck or really suck? It's the same.
No, it's not the same. These guys are better than the replacement.
So I don't know
refs.
How you cannot appreciate something that's better.
Because I don't think they're good at what they do. So why should I appreciate something I think is poor performance?
Because it's better. It's
better than
better
what?
Than the
it's
alternative.
Better than, it's better than the alternative with guys that were untrained. Yeah, they're better than untrained monkeys. Yeah,
so
great.
You should appreciate
let's throw,
them
let's
more.
Throw up, why?
Because they're better.
Because you tell me that I have to appreciate it?
Because they're better.
But
the
they're
game
terrible.
Is better. See, I
that's
I don't
like,
agree
that,
with that.
That's like me saying I really appreciated Scott Seacules after he replaced Tommy Hodson because he was better. No, neither one of them belonged in an NFL field.
See, and that's how you feel about
the
officials.
That's how I feel about the officials.
But I think you, yeah.
So you can mock me. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. But
I'm not mocking you. I've given up fighting this because
exactly.
I don't fight with people when they're in an unreasonable corner that I'm not going to talk
them
out of.
Because I don't. Believe I don't
right.
believe exactly what you do.
Is that they
I am
stink.
To be dismissed. And
I don't
I'm okay
think they
with that.
Stink. I don't think they stink.
But that's what opinions are for. I'm okay that
I'm
you
not,
don't agree with
right.
me. I don't need anybody to agree with me.
The question is,
that's
can
fine.
Could a human being do it any better than they do it? And if so, why don't they find guys that can?
Because I think they didn't know this was going to happen like this.
No,
and they
no,
didn't
no.
train anybody.
No. I'm saying. Over the years with the regular refs, you think they stink.
Yeah, I do.
The question is it possible to do it better than they do it?
Yes, in my opinion,
then
yes.
Then why haven't they found guys to do it then?
Because I don't think people are clamoring to become refs.
Okay. But you think out there are humans that could do better jobs.
Do you
that.
Not?
I
do
don't
you think
not.
These are the very best people that could ever possibly do this job?
I know that they're the
I
best
do.
People
on a,
available. That
on a general level, yes.
Maybe.
Individually, I think there are probably some people
but
that
I think
could
it,
be better.
I happen
like
to
Mike
agree.
Mike Carey probably stinks compared to...
And there might be some guy in the SEC who's better. But on the whole, I think they have the best you're going to get. Humans make errors.
Okay. I mean, I just think it's a terrible performance. That's all.
Like, I really believe that with the right training and enough time and experience, I could do that job. I do.
I don't.
I think I could.
Didn't so you
I
tell
guess
me you couldn't blow the whistle in intramurals?
Right,
no,
but I said the same thing in basketball intramurals. They'd show up drunk. It was really hard. You know, it was really hard to call those games. But I think with time, I think I could do that job.
But yeah, I do. Don't. I just wanted to state to Phil, I do see that the replacement guys were over their head and not as good as the real guys. So even though Andy keeps saying you don't see a difference, he's
that's the way I think.
He's teasing me and he's making fun of me, which is okay. But don't take it literally. These guys are better than the replacements.
Phil says, P.S. I was lying when I said I didn't want to bring up a contentious issue. I love it when Paul goes off with one of his rants.
And I like to oblige when
you
guys
Well, then you
are
should probably watch PFW TV for because about the 17th time in the last two seasons, Paul's discussing the officials for his Round the NFL, I believe.
We should just have Ref's Corner with Paul Perilla.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it can be like Mike Pereira tells you one thing.
Look at that.
Here's what really happened.
They just spotted the ball a yard and a half and gave a guy a first down. That's great to have Ed Hockley back out there. Oh, great.
He's out of his bleeping mind.
I just think it's amazing.
I
put it on.
He's never liked the refs.
But I put it on the
media.
No,
I know.
I don't put it on the refs. I put it on the media.
Just because they're back.
Because there's a difference between the two.
Yeah.
There's an obvious difference.
Right.
And, the attention that we give to missed
calls.
Right.
Losing
to me, the obvious
difference.
Not
show Paul anything that it seemingly showed
right.
us.
And
I think that
I saw a difference. I don't remember all the extra timeouts and the 59-minute games.
But I do think that most of those guys, if you had no other choice but to give them time and experience, they would become as good as the current ones.
They become significantly better. I don't know if they'd be because I'm giving. The guys that are current did all that already. Like they came up through the ranks.
Yeah, but at a much slower pace and a lower level.
No. I'm saying the guys that are back, the real officials.
Oh, right.
And they're
rose up through the ranks.
And theoretically, they're getting better with every game of experience.
Right.
So they started the race ahead.
My point is, it's not like being an athlete where you either have the God-given talent or you don't. This can be an acquired skill.
Oh, I think there's some skill to it that is not.
Well, I think there's some people that can't, yeah.
I think there's certain degrees of being able to see multiple things at once and process things.
But not to the extent of like being a pro athlete.
No.
You know? Either can be.
But I think there's a skill involved.
Oh, sure.
That I don't think I have.
Sure, but it can be acquired.
I would doze off. I would not be paying attention.
I think the more you get used to looking for holding, the better you are at recognizing it.
Right.
You
but you also have to see other stuff.
I understand. But the way they do it is, you know, certain refs have certain things
to look
for.
No, I know. And I don't know that I could do that. I'd be watching the ball. I'd be watching big plays.
Yeah.
It's like the security guards that stand with their back to the field the whole day. I couldn't do that either. I'm not watching the crowd. I want to watch the game.
Ed says, Bill is apparently now listening to Andy's suggestions. It's just too bad he waited so long. Have you seen what a force J.J. Watt has been in Houston?
Those weren't attached, I hope, because
no.
I didn't like J.J.
Watt. I like J.J.
Watt.
I like him.
I do now.
Well, no, I like him now.
But I'm not going to be a fraud and say I wanted them to draft him because I didn't want them to.
Sure, that was going to be like a Golston Quinn thing.
Yeah, these are all the subject here is too bad Bill didn't listen to Andy with regard to the previous year's draft. If Bill had only listened to Andy and traded up to get Watt in the previous draft to go along with Chandler, then we would have a New York Giants-style pass rush potential.
I don't think I like J.J.
Watt. Andy didn't like J.J. Watt.
I called him a rich man's Mike Wright.
Andy has great insight into draft talent, something Bill should consider in future drafts.
I agree. I think my percentage is
better
than
you didn't
Bill's.
Like J.J. Watt.
Well, one player
which
can
is
be
the premise
wrong
of his email.
No, but I'm right a lot more than I'm wrong.
Of course, much like I'm keeping score of the picks, Andy's keeping score of how many times he's right.
If that's the way it's going to work out, I'll let the fans keep score.
Brandon Lloyd photos making the rounds. It was shown and talked about on Fox and Friends this morning.
Nice.
They didn't say much, just said it was a great photo.
And not about anything about Patriots Football Weekly. I'm sure. What is going on? We need to, you know how they put those things so you can't print them online, the ghost? We need that on there or something. We need Patriots Football Weekly, 1-800-494-PATS.
Well, we're going to do a new thing where you can't right-click and save it. So
the horse has left the carriage.
Well, now it's too late.
This is the greatest photo we're ever going to have. We have peaked. We have peaked. This is the greatest photo we're ever going to have. You're not going to get this again. So you missed the boat.
Bathroom.
The ship has sailed.
You were loud.
And what would we have done with it if they couldn't do that?
What?
What would have happened if...
Publicity. We would have gotten a little publicity.
Why are you yelling?
Because we're getting... used on this Brandon Lloyd photo that's everywhere with no attribution or no acknowledgement that it comes from Patriots Football Weekly. It's on national news outlets. Diane Sawyer's going to do it.
There's nobody crediting where the photo
came
from?
No, it's on Gawker. It's on Deadspin.
They're crediting New England Patriots.
God forbid we credit Patriots Football Weekly, the publication that makes money. Tell people, you want more photos like this? 1-800-494-PATS. Instead, it's just bouncing around cyberspace.
Is this what you were just arguing about a minute ago? before I got in here?
He's been going for pretty good.
Because I was made a pit stop in the men's room, and I could hear you guys loud and clear.
We might have been talking about the refs then, but Andy's been
really
uptight about this.
As a niche publication, we only have so many opportunities to get recognition we don't promote ourselves.
Major recognition like that.
The
too,
Super
yeah.
Bowl is one. Mm-hmm. Dynasty cover
yes.
is one.
Yep.
Are You Reffin' Kidding Me mm-hmm. is one where it made the rounds on
ESPN
TV.
And at least we had the masthead on that one.
Right. This is an opportunity to say, wow, that's a good publication. There might be Patriots fans around the country, globe.
You're right.
And
can't argue with it.
There's nothing. Our own team tweets out the photo without saying, this is a photo from Patriots Football Weekly.
And we often talk about Ron Jaworski, who always compliments us. Well, we had something like that happen again this year. Mike Tirico.
Yes, that's right.
When we had the Monday night preseason game, remember mm-hmm. that? I forget which game it was. Maybe the Eagles. Maybe.
Eagles, yeah.
He was just raving about how good the paper was and talking about how the other teams around the league have nothing compared to that. He was telling the people in the
praising it a lot for its impartiality, he said.
And let's be honest.
We should
I make
promote
fun of our
that.
Photographers a lot. They need to strike while the iron's hot here. This is a great photo.
Well, the Patriots are going to enter it into some contests and
taken from the pages of Patriots Football Weekly.
We should make sure that
can we get Patriots Football Weekly somewhere in there?
I think
Andy's
we can.
Really, really
well.
Up
well, he's right.
He's
right.
Absolutely right. But
how many times do we
really
get an opportunity
up?
Like this?
You're right.
That is free. There's no cost involved. There's
right.
nothing. Diane Sawyer is going to talk about it. Fox and Friends are going to talk about it. All you have to say is just be
right.
sure to credit Patriots Football Weekly. From the Patriots and Patriots Football Weekly. It takes no more time, no more energy, no more money. It just takes people thinking of how we can maximize our opportunities as an organization.
You're right.
Because I get told a lot, we're part of this organization, right?
Well.
No, I get told that a lot. It usually doesn't benefit me,
no,
but I get told that a lot.
Whenever you're told that, it's not a good thing.
It's generally in a negative light.
So how about when it can help us,
we're
part of the damn organization.
1-800-494-PATS is how you subscribe. 1-800-494-PATS. And
that's
if you passion. Don't have the
yes.
iPad,
am I wrong? Can no. somebody tell me why I'm wrong on some level?
Did
anywhere.
Anyone say you were wrong?
Well, I get
the third
I'm getting
time
tone.
I rewound him up.
I'm getting that passion, like he's wound up again. The crazy guy's yelling in the corner.
Not at all.
And punching the desk.
Not at all. I know
don't
you do that.
That
to me, but I don't take it like
well, you
that.
You are the crazy guy,
right? And
you
I have
think
no,
the officials never changed.
But you evidently have a problem with it. I don't. I don't have a problem when I'm out on an island by myself. It's fine.
1-800-494-PATS, and if you have an iPad, search for Patriots Football Daily.
If you have an Android, go screw yourself, because Fred won't make one for you guys
what's
for
the
some
next
reason.
30 for 30, 9.79 asterisk.
It's the Carl Lewis and Ben Johnson.
Oh.
Did anybody watch Broke last night?
I have it on
DVR. I watched
DVR.
About the last hour of it.
Paul says, you said you were lukewarm.
I was disappointed.
Kenny Keller upstairs said, atrocious, worst thing he's ever seen. It's not a documentary.
It's not that long. It's not that bad.
I was
disappointed, though. Andy ended up being right, I think.
Eric, what do you got for us?
Usually how it is.
Not very healthy at tight end out there today, Freddie.
Alex Silvestro?
Only two tight ends on the field. Silvestro was one of them, and Daniel Fells was the other.
Ooh.
No Gronk.
Never good when one of the two is really a defensive end.
Yeah.
And the other one's got a shin injury that's evidently been bothering him since birth.
Right. But Gronk, interestingly, talked before practice, and usually when a guy's hurt and not playing, he doesn't talk. So I wouldn't read too much into the fact that he wasn't out there today. I mean,
should I read into the timeline similarities that Gronk has a hip injury that he plays with? Could he be going down the Logan Mankins road of when you play with a hip injury, you play with, eventually you don't play with it?
I hope that's not the case.
Plus,
but
you know, we had a lot of the.
But again,
a lot of the guys wrote in yesterday about how he was running too, and
but
that's something.
In
that,
Mankins' case,
that's a major concern.
Mankins returned to practice, by the way.
That's good.
I'll get to more than that. But to your point about that, Mankins, when he was on the injury report the week leading up to the Baltimore game,
limited
with the
he
hip,
popped up on Thursday, I think,
something like that.
It was it was clearly a practice injury,
right? And then played the Baltimore game. And then was out all last week, didn't play the Buffalo game.
Right.
Gronk was added Friday, played the game, and now was missing his first practice. But he talked today, which if a guy's going to be out for any length of time, he doesn't talk.
Yeah,
theoretically.
I'm not necessarily worried in terms of him not playing.
Oh, I am, because if he doesn't play, then you know how you ask me if I'm worried? I'm worried.
He's hurt. That's what I'm worried about. And clearly he's hurt. He didn't run well the other day despite having 100 yards, whatever.
And he did a lot of, you know, he dove for a lot of passes, hit the, you know, that turf pretty hard.
Yeah, that one where the incomplete in the end zone, yeah. He went right to the sideline after that.
Yeah. Yep. And he sat out two series, one in each of the halves, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, even if he plays, I wonder, like you said, Andy, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, is it just too much and he can't play anymore? There's a lot of football left.
So that's the bad news from practice. Edelman remains out. Gregory, who apparently was nicked up a little bit maybe in the third quarter at Buffalo.
You thought he was bent.
My whole Tavon Wilson theory.
Which
was
why we saw a lot of Tavon later in that game.
I thought he got benched, Gregory.
He wasn't there either. Ho'omanawanui, who left with a minute or so left in the fourth quarter of that game, wasn't out there either. Hernandez remains out. We saw him today in the locker room. Looked a lot better than he had a week or two ago. And then Gronk. So those were your five missing players. The good news, Mankins back out there. Hightower, who didn't play the rest of the game after the first quarter with the hamstring, he was out there.
Like the rest of his teammates? Like same whatever?
Yeah, it was shells, and they were just, you know, stretching and drills right after that. But he was taking part. And saw him in the locker room right at when we got in today and asked him if he'd talk. He said maybe Friday. So that's two encouraging signs right there from him. And Brandon Dedrick, who was on and off last week with the ankle injury, was on again this week.
Okay.
And I know Andy loves this part of practice. Well, before we get to Black, numbers, jersey
67.
Numbers. Yes. Matt Tennant, Paul's guy, Matt Tennant, went from 69 to 67. And I wonder if that had anything to do with the fact that they're playing Dan Copen this week and... Doing
that's
my
what
Chris Berman. I just wanted to.
Lou was happy to see that because he wasn't
Lieutenant,
comfortable with
his
son
dad,
wearing 69.
Lou. His dad,
right?
Lou. The military guy.
Lieutenant.
Yeah.
He's not laughing at 69 jokes.
Black jerseys. Any number? Any guess on the number and who got them?
42.
42 players got black jerseys?
I don't know. You score 52 points, you should get a lot of black jerseys.
Yeah, you would think.
I'd say four players.
One. Ironically, one player got a black jersey this week.
Jeff Tarpinian.
No, but you're in the right neighborhood. P-Squad.
P-Squad.
A guy you probably forgot is on the team.
Jake Beckett.
No, he's active roster.
Anybody that
Justin Francis, my favorite guy.
Also active roster.
And he's also been hurt.
He was out there, though.
So a practice squatter that I can't mention.
No, I mean, you probably, he doesn't, he's kind of inconsequential. But
Jeremiah Warren.
No, but good guess. It's Malcolm Williams.
Yeah, I would have never guessed that.
Right.
Any level.
Would you ever remember that he was on the team?
Yeah, I'm surprised that.
Like,
I was
dominate their defensive line.
I was thinking of Mario Williams.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's kind of hard to tell with the dark blue and the black out there, but we looked at all of them, and there was no one on the D-line.
So now you tell me there might have been more black out there.
No, I'm saying we.
Did you ask others?
We all did, and we were looking. We were like, this is ridiculous. They only have one player. We double-checked a million times.
Who's we all?
You like that? Double-checked them.
All right, move on.
Okay.
Who's we
all? All of it. You know, Chris Price.
You and Chris.
Howe.
Okay.
Rodak.
If Rodak did it, I'm on board.
Wow.
I trust him.
Wow. That's hurt. That hurts a little bit right here.
That's hurt.
A little bit.
What about Bill had a press conference
Bill
today?
Did, yes. It was actually, I would say, in a fairly good mood today.
Well, he knows that I'm doing the game plans for him now, so he's
moving Chandler Jones all around, right? Yeah, I saw your tweets about that. Tonight, by the way, for those of you who want to watch NFL films, Cleveland Browns 1995, Bills last year there. That's on, I think, 8 o'clock tonight. Tom Curran tried to get him to talk about that. And
it's just about the Broncos.
Well, he started with, well, you know, Steve Zabel asked me to do it. NFL Films, anything they ask, I'll do it. And, yeah, I'm really just trying to focus on the Broncos. I don't talk to too many of those people out there anymore.
One thing I did find interesting.
Now that Steve is dead.
They were just showing clips on NFL Network behind us. And he had, like, those big glasses on.
Bill did?
Yeah. And, like, so does he wear contacts now? Did he get LASIK? I don't remember him wearing glasses.
I've never seen him wearing glasses.
And he was up at the whiteboard.
I saw a lot of tweets about all the other guys that were all in glasses, too. Like Mangini had glasses. I think Saban had glasses on.
Well, Saban I've seen. I don't know if I've seen Mangini.
And the sweaters.
But
you've got to tune in just for the sweaters.
All the time we've seen Bill, I've never seen glasses. And even if he had contacts, you'd think every once in a while you see someone who has wear contacts in glasses.
That's
on the
worst,
plane,
to
maybe.
To me, that's the worst fashion time of my lifetime. Like, even the leisure suits of the 70s were better than... some of the outrageously
colors and patterns
colors
of 90, the 90s.
Of the early to mid 90s.
Now, is that tied into Bill Cosby? I know everybody kind of calls him Bill Cosby.
Cosby sweaters?
Like,
well, he had him in the, he was rocking those in the 80s.
So did he, like,
I think he might have started a trend with those.
You know who started him was Lou Carnesecca, wasn't it?
He had ugly sweaters that were just ridiculously ugly. But like I'm not even just talking about the sweaters as much as like the color, like remember like Will Smith with the colors that alternated in checkerboard almost style. It just, you know, Theo from, you know, to stay with the Cosby Show had some ridiculously bad clothes.
It's a Gordon Gartrell.
Zubas came along in that era.
Oh
sometime.
Yeah, another great one, Andy. I'm sure rocked those.
Oh, so a lot of
one pair.
Those were big. Those were big with the
every day.
Those were big. The bodybuilding gym crowd.
Yeah,
they all wore those.
The bum sweatshirt.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. Cut the.
You
cut the neck collar out of it.
I don't think I cut the neck.
Loser.
Oh, I'm a loser. This guy.
Fred, don't tell me you didn't.
Emerson singlet on.
I did.
He used to walk around with his weight belt on.
I did not.
I think I did a radio show with Emerson the other night. Your alma mater.
Really?
Yeah.
Emerson.
Some youngins called me.
You do so many now, you just can't remember.
I try to do those little ones, like
to help out the little people, because you remember what
a-hole.
It was like.
Screw you.
I try to do the little ones. You know, keeps me grounded.
I hate you.
You should.
Why would you not do that?
Huh?
Why would you not do that?
Not do what?
Help out.
Hate Andy?
No, help out some guy in college or something who's trying to get started.
Screw him.
He had a terrible question, though. So, what's going on down in Foxborough was like his opening question, and I was like, where? Just go anywhere I want with this? It was like when Fred asked us when we get back from the locker room. What's going on in the locker room?
Well, the landscapers were out today.
Andy, because he can go in any number of directions.
This new mulch down in front of E2.
Brooklyn Decker looked good. I was on my computer. I was in Foxborough when I was searching for her on the internet. You see there's a search.xxx now?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice. See, you found it.
No, I read an article about
it. Evidently, one of the nuggets that came out of
in my porn magazine.
Broke documentary last night was Bernie Kosar's daughter.
Does
was a porn star.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Dirty whore.
Bernie Kosar.
Oh, that's right. You were telling me about
that. And they said she looks like him, so I have no interest.
Yeah.
Dirty Kosar.
No, she has a name. It's like...
it was Lexi something. Silver? Lexi Silver.
Lexi Silver.
All right, so there's the practice report from Eric Scalavino.
A little porn thrown in.
Brought to you by Alden Galleries.
The hell's Alden Galleries?
Just some art gallery? Yeah. Right, yeah.
Alden Galleries.
Why didn't you pick the one that's here? Isn't there one here?
Yeah, I forget what it's called.
In Patriot Place.
The one up in, I don't remember what it's called.
You couldn't get up in that
piece? I think it's the Artist Loft, right?
What'd you say?
I said he couldn't get up in that piece.
Nope.
David Silverman.
So you don't tell him not to talk like that.
But I'm clearly mocking you.
So I'm clearly mocking other people who say it.
No, you say it too much to be mocking anyone.
Because Paul doesn't like it.
Not as much as Andy doesn't like
David
it.
David Silverman had a showing up in
he
that.
He did.
Yeah.
Of his
Speaking
Africa
of
photos.
Our,
that's right.
Photographer.
You know who should have one now?
Keith Nordstrom.
With just one photo. Right in the middle. Suck it, bitches.
That's another one that Andy's really high on, by the way. Getting it right back into the ABC.
It's the greatest photo I've ever seen.
Jim in Pittsburgh says...
Yeah, it's a good one.
Enjoying today's installment of the Sunshine Club.
I don't know how you rank them.
I'll keep Bill over Brady as much as that pains me. Kyle Love is the most underrated. Patrick Chung, most overrated. He may hit big tackling. I don't know what that means. Hope you get a chance to
he
try
may hit
the
big
place.
When tackling.
I recommend it. Don't say you had sings instead. Fred, it's not like you can't eat twice. What? I don't know.
Wings.
Sings, yeah.
Wings. No. You said, are there wings there? The guy called from someplace, told you to go there, and you said, are there
Buffalo,
wings?
In Buffalo. No, if I'm in Buffalo, I'm going to have wings. Sorry. You know, that's
no
that.
John Rook today? Oh.
His mother's basement.
John writes, and where did Eric go?
He went to get a drink. Jesus.
Oh. With the replacement rest.
There he is, Fred.
Eric's back. He got a drink, Fred, just so you know. I don't want you to worry.
With the replacement refs, I would jump up and down screaming about the horrible call they made, rewatch the play on my DVR, and actually it'd be right. With the old refs, I would jump up and down, rewatch it, and most of the time the spot was right, the call was right, or at least understandable. What I don't understand is why is any play unreviewable? I see.
Because of judgment calls and things of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not the ref's fault, by the way. As much as I put everything on the refs, rules aren't the ref's fault.
And if everything were reviewable, I mean,
still have two challenges a game.
No, I know, but like if if they allowed the replay booth official to be like, oh, I looked at that and you should, you know, I mean, that could be, it would just slow the game down too.
But I just think you can't review a holding call. You can't say, well, that guy thinks it's a hold, but that guy doesn't.
Well, especially in this league when
pass interference.
I mean, I don't from think crew to crew, it varies how they call a hold.
I get Andy's point, but I don't think it would slow the game down. I think you still limit the number of challenges and you go. I mean, if you choose to challenge a pass interference, now maybe you couldn't challenge the ball on the sideline with whether his feet were in bounds or not.
Yeah, I just don't like
I understand it's a slippery slope. And I for the most part, I have no problem with it.
Because it's not black and white. Right. It can't be right and wrong.
It's a judgment call, and there has to be some sort of judgment.
Ed Hockley is on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week.
Andy already talked about it.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
I'm telling you, when he's done and he retires, he will
WWE?
He will be at a WrestleMania. Because he's now pretty much the most famous.
I want him to take part in it, though.
Official,
you know, like start off as calling.
Oh, they always
things,
do. They
and
get
then he
hit
gets into
or
it.
Something,
right?
And then he Danny knocks Davis. A guy out. Yeah, oh yeah.
Dangerous.
But Mike Tyson, Pete Rose, they all get involved. But he is literally the most famous official that's ever walked the planet. I mean, has there ever been another official by name like this guy is on the cover?
This has been so famous.
The boxing guy, who became
Miles
a judge.
Lane?
Yeah,
Mills Lane.
Yeah. Mills Lane.
And then there's been a couple.
Well, there's famous baseball umpires for bad calls.
For bad calls.
I think Ed Hockley is just famous.
Yeah, that's true.
For guns, like his arm size has nothing to do with
his propensity
his
to talk.
Yeah, like
I mean,
that whole
he's
thing.
He's just famous.
He's a character.
His name is memorable too. It's not like his name is John
Mike
Smith. Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Carey.
Ed Broccoli. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
No,
stand
is it really?
By for PFW.
Freddie, that's funny you say that. I have a neighbor whose name is Eddie Broccoli.
Is that right?
Yeah, I swear to God.
Does he have cauliflower ear?
Oh! No, but he has a green bean. Oh. All right. All right, stay tuned for Pitcher's Playbook with John Rook. And then, of course, right after that is Cold Hard Football Facts with Adam Schefter. Yes. So stay tuned for that. We'll see you tomorrow. You have to let that raga grow. The oil down the desert way has been shaken to the top. The shaking drove his Cadillac. He went cruising down the hill. The prison was a standing.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.